I'll drop a bomb sometimes. Like, somebody was talking about Ghostbusters, and I was like, I never saw Ghostbusters. And everybody was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, I never saw Ghostbusters. Why? Well, I wasn't really allowed to because I was a Jehovah's Witness. It has ghost in the title. Why didn't you see it as an adult? I was like, I'm not really into science fiction. And they're like, it's not it's a fucking comedy. Science fiction, you dipshit. And his mind was so blown that I had not investigated Ghostbusters. And he was like, well, you know, you run a cult. And it was just like, I could use that at any point in my life. Any awkward situation, be like, hey, I was in a cult.
Yeah.
It's such a great get out of jail free card.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank Podcast. My name is Ari Shaffir, and I'm sitting here listening to screamo music from behind me, trying to record a podcast. That's right, it's New York City, everybody, the home of no peace. If you're looking for quiet, look further than New York fucking City. Who does screamo music at 3:36 p.m.? It's the wrong time for it. God, I want to get over there and mosh, though. Dude, moshing in a controlled environment is one of the funnest things of all time. It's got to be a controlled environment, though, because it's all right. Push, you know, get him back in there. And then there's one dude who's always like, I'm just going to punch everybody. Like, bro, you're ruining it. And they're like, if you ain't tough enough, don't come into this mosh pit. I'm like, well, is there a kiddie mosh pit that I can swim in? Is there a fucking 15 minutes an hour where the pussies can get in there and not get punched in the face? It is fun, though, when you see, like, some small guy get too uppity and tough, and then he just gets fucking punched. Or a woman? Have you ever seen a woman get fucking leveled in a mosh pit? It's wrong, and that's what makes you watch. Well, guys, on today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, my friend Doug Smith has come in. That doesn't look comfortable, does it? My friend Doug Smith comes in to tell me about Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I wanted to get him in to talk about this rape he broke up. But I thought, listen, we've had that topic before. Who hasn't broken up a rape? If you listen to any of the crime stats, there's a rape going on every 7 minutes in each household. So obviously everybody I know has broken up at least 7 or 8 rapes. So, you know, meh, well, who cares? I got stabbed in the face. Boring. So instead we talked about Jehovah's Witnesses. Now I'm thinking of joining, okay? Not so much because I think they have good points, but because what a cool thing to say you're a part of, Jehovah's Witnesses. And Doug was. He was raised in it. Because his mom was an idiot. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you came home one day and your mom's like, we're going to make some changes. And you're like, what? What? We're getting a Nissan? And she goes, no, it's more wholesale changes than that. And you're like, a dog. We're getting a dog. She's like, no, we're going to go door to door. Selling things that people are angry we're even offering. And speaking of anger, I went to the New York Yankees-Boston Red Sox game with my buddy Steve Renazzisi. As soon as the Yankees' last game of the season, they made it. You know, they're like, oh, no playoffs. One game wild card. And then 2 hours later, Boston won, so we ended up being in Boston. I called Steve. I was like, let's go, dude. Let's make a road trip. So we did. Here's some takeaways of my first trip to Fenway Park. Since A-Rod had his first game back after his fucking steroid scandal. Oh man, they booed him that day. That day though, I sucked down a joint so fucking, there's a smoking section at Fenway. So I got there early to walk around the stadium. And I was, I mean, I sucked down a full joint in about 40 seconds and then fucking bolted. A couple things I've noticed for the Boston Fenway fans. First of all, before I even say that, I'll be at the Wilbur in Boston December 9th. You can get tickets at arishaffir.com. The Wilbur Theater. Fucking stoked to be there. I used to open up for Joe Rogan there. So if you're anywhere near Boston December 9th, you want to get tickets at arishaffir.com right now at the Wilbur. They put up an American flag over the entire Green Monster. That flag is too long. It's not to scale. You fucked it up, Boston. You fucked it up. The flag, the U.S. flag you put on your ad-covered Green Monster, the most iconic thing about Boston sports, you covered with ads for insurance companies. And not John Hancock, too, that had some sort of, like, tie to Boston. Nah. This is other insurance providers. You can't even pick one insurance provider that's a little bit patriotic. Because why? Because you suck. Number two. We walked around for 40 minutes until we saw our first seven. Boston has one of the ugliest contingencies of women in the world. I mean, the just the sheer amounts of fours to sixes is staggering. And the attitudes they have and they develop from being raised in a city of fives is mind-numbing. The fact that they think they're special when I should slap them in the face for the way they looked. And instead, they're like, you know you want to get with this. I don't want to get with this unless I'm going into a concentration camp gas chamber, and I hope to take some people with me, because even in those moments, I will care about the community. You fucking 4.6. How dare you be confident? And that's all of Boston women. There's a few. There's a few homes. And you know where they went? Los Angeles, to get the fuck out of there. God, if you're a fucking 8, you could be the mayor of Boston. What a fucking gross town. Oh. Freshman 15 is a standard in the neck. There were more Yankees jerseys than Boston Red Sox jerseys. And why is that? Because anytime you think of Boston as having a fucking hardcore like idea of a city, you haven't taken into account that 25 years has passed. And a lot of New Yorkers moved up there and their kids are now New York Yankees fans. So it's littering the city. You know a fun thing we did? Me and Steve, we stopped on the way. Away from the fake anger. We stopped on the way. We saw these like five guys with Yankees jerseys in Connecticut somewhere on a rest stop. Steve and I did a Patreon podcast, patreon.com/Ari Shaffir, on the way back. Dear Ari episode. It was really funny. We talked about wife swapping and spitting on pussies. He's never done either. Anyway, we saw these Yankees guys, and I was like, Steve. And they're all going from New York up there, you know. I'm like, let's go make their day, dude. You know they're going to fucking love the guy from the league. So we did. We got out of the car. We went up there. First, they didn't even notice who Steve was. They just saw our Yankees jerseys. And they're like, Yankees fans! It's somewhere in mid-Connecticut. And then one guy goes, wait, holy shit. As soon as he saw Steve, he goes, are you the guy from the league? You're Kevin from the league, right? Sorry, I don't know your real name, dude. Don't recognize me. I'd fucking rather it that way. Gooey giveaway. I don't know what that is. I wrote down a note. Here's a question for your mascot. What is Tessie? I know Wally is the male mascot. It's just some green monster. What is Tessie, Boston? What is Tessie other than just a female version of Wally? Someone you've added in with no fucking traits of their own. No, they stand for nothing, Tessie. All they are is a female version of the male thing. She has no opinion. She has no life. She has no backstory. She's simply a female Wally. Why have her there? Because of the Me Too movement, I'm sure. But why not make her a rich person? Why make her so empty? And the reason is because Tessie, the green monster, is as hot as the average Boston woman. Again, I'll be at the Wilbur Theater December 9th. Get tickets at arishafir.com. Oh, I'll also be, what do I got? Well, I'll be at Skankfest, but... That's sold out. But I got Orlando and Tampa in November. And then in December, I got Oklahoma City, San Antonio, and Boston. And then coming up, Phoenix was just added. Go to arishafir.com. Cleveland, Phoenix in January. Denver, we'll see what else I add. Tickets are all on sale right now. Phoenix may or may not be on sale. At arishafir.com. And that's it. Oh, so let's just start the episode. The flannel girl meme from movie from a time. I got something for the outro. I got to talk to Metzger about everything I learned here. It was fucking interesting. Let me start, but I'm just telling. Oh shit, the battery's about to die. It was fucking interesting as shit. So thank you, Doug Smith. Everybody follow him on Instagram. Let him know that you like the episode. What's Doug Smith's Instagram? Comedian Doug Smith Instagram. And that's it. I would say subscribe. Doug Smith. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you watch it or listen to it, on YouTube or whatever. Every Monday, I've got yoga coming out in October. I might carry that through in November, December. But then January is the next challenge. Who Doug Smith? Reach out to him on Instagram. Tell him you like the episode. Ask him any questions about Jehovah's Witnesses or about breaking up rapes. He's got the most experience in comedy in either. Let's start. Oh, and I think, okay, so I talked to my employee, Marissa. I called on the phone. She was busy munching a box. She's a well-known lesbian. And I said, Marissa, is that you? And she goes, yeah, what's going on? And I said, how do you feel about the Monday release schedule? She said, well, it means I don't get a weekend to spend time with her girlfriend, her box munch girlfriend, who has a regular job. So I think we're going to start moving this podcast to every Tuesday. That would allow my employee to have a weekend, enjoy her life. One thing I stand for, you guys, is about enjoying life. So let's just move it to Tuesday. I'll give it some time. We'll start in November. How about that? In November, we're going to do this every Tuesday. YouTube will be in the afternoon, 1 p.m., I think, Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Western Time, 8 a.m. Western Time. And then the audio version will just be up first thing. I'll try to get those up at like 6 a.m. so you can listen to it on the way to work in November on Tuesdays. So, guys, let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir Skepetek. Oh, I'm running out of batteries. Ari Shaffir Skepetek, episode 443. 7 more till Danish and O'Neill. 443. Can I get a witness? About Jehovah's Witnesses with Doug Smith. Starts now. It didn't run out of batteries. Jehovah's Witness, leave me alone. Jehovah's Witness, I'm not at home. Keep on knocking and ringing the bells. Locking the way straight to hell. Jehovah's Witness, let's not pretend. That for 1 second, you are my friend. Knock on my door, man, I'll turn out the light. Close the curtains and turn in for the night.
Like, Jehovah's Witnesses, I'll tell you about the door-to-door stuff, but the whole idea of pagan holidays, like, we weren't able to celebrate birthdays because...
Yeah.
Nobody's birthday, not your own birthday. The birthdays are off the fucking table.
Why? Why because, is commemoration bad?
Because there's one account in the Bible of King Herod telling
King
his...
Herod, I think, dominated the Jews.
Yeah.
No, I think he took over Israel.
Yeah. Yeah. So he told his daughter on her 18th birthday she could have anything she wanted, up to half his kingdom. And she asked for the head of John the Baptist, the man who baptized Jesus. She asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, and that's what she got. So because some fucking
spoiled
rich
white
bitch,
chick.
Yeah, some goth bitch wanted a head on her dresser.
Why?
I can't celebrate. I can't eat a fucking cupcake.
Because
you know?
It was a bad birthday. Dude, yeah. Jews have the same thing. The 9 weeks, I think, it's their version of Lent. It's the temple. I think maybe both temples were destroyed inside those 9 weeks over, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah.
And then like all of Hillel's students caught a plague or something, so half of them died. Just a bunch of bad things happened. And so you're not supposed to fly those days. You're not supposed to travel.
Yeah.
Limit celebration. And I talked to my sister about it. I'm like, you know, that was over 1,000 years ago was the last time anything bad happened.
Yeah.
You can get on a plane.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, it's bad luck. I'm like, why? Because one girl takes a shitty present and then it's out for everybody? What about the person who got a birthday present was like, oh, I just want some art?
Exactly. Yeah. She could have been like, give me a pony. Harmless gift.
Yeah.
You know?
What was your issue with John the Baptist?
I think it was just like a power thing.
But
like,
why did she
like
know
she
about
wanted
John
to
woo.
I don't know. It's a good question. I really have no idea. But like, what the fuck does that have to do with anybody else outside of that family?
Yeah, yes, exactly. You know? Exactly. Like that girl should be punished.
Decapitations are bad. Birthdays aren't bad. You know, there's nothing.
Decapitation.
There's nothing.
Not,
thou shalt not decapitate. They just come down hard on birthdays.
What a weird one to say that's what caused it. The birthday. If not for the birthday, none of this would have happened. And they killed him, John the Baptist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what was her issue with John the Baptist? I don't understand. Why does she even know about him, let alone hate him?
I think, you know, Jesus was vilified by many, and I think it was possibly a way of It was kind of like a mob boss kind of move. Like, we're not going to kill you. We're going to kill someone close to you. You know? So.
Right.
Since Jesus was aware. Yeah.
He was still alive, killing it.
Yeah.
At killing his height.
It. Yeah.
Was he in the 27
I believe
club?
So. No, he I believe was 35. So. Luckily, a lot of the shit that I was taught has evacuated. But there.
Okay.
There were, publications that we had where there were illustrations, like full color oil painting illustrations of these various Bible accounts. And there was a picture of a servant bringing a silver platter with John the Baptist's head
really
on it to this very whorish looking
they do have
it, girl.
They do have, in all religion, they do have really beautiful death art.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. Really cover well. Getting eaten by a lion, like Daniel with a lion, and like
very dramatic poses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very like writhing,
contorted. And like, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
What did you say to people when you like? So, first of all, like, we were alone. Were you with a parent? You went door to door. Start with a parent, then go to a loan.
You have to earn your way to go in with your parents.
Yeah, you're just like shadowing, like a waitress at the beginning.
You'll be fine. There's no bad people out there.
Oh,
go
yeah.
say hi to some strangers.
I mean, okay, I got to keep going back to this. Has anybody ever, we'll get to that in a second. Did anybody ever get killed?
Honestly, yes. Yes.
What?
So I went around knocking on doors from the time I was about 6 years old, probably even younger. I mean, I was born into it, so I'm sure my mom was active in it my whole life. I'm sure I was carted around, probably, yeah. But my first memories of it are being like 6 years old and going and knocking on doors, and like at that age, you can just rely on cuteness, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a pretty adorable little kid in my fucking suit jacket with my like dress shorts, you know, like I was dressed like a Southern just Baptist shorts. Kid, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Jacket, suit, tie,
yeah, they open the door,
shorts.
I'm like, hallelujah.
It was like Richie Rich.
Yeah. Yeah, I look like Richie Rich.
Yeah, shorts. Yeah.
So, you know, someone opens the door and you don't even hardly say anything. You're like, hi, I'm doing a Bible-based volunteer work. Here you go. And you hand them a tract or a brochure. And, you know, people are kind enough to take it. But then as you get older, you know, once you start hitting the teen years, they look at you, they size you up. They're like, all right, I can be real with this kid. And I had, when I was maybe 12. Yeah. So you would get split up into car groups.
Car groups?
Yeah. So like you go to the Kingdom Hall, that's their church, and they split you into groups, usually 4 or 5 people in a car. Yeah. And I was always, you know, riding bitch in the middle seat, stuck between two other, you know,
Kingdom
horribly groups. Dressed Bible thumpers.
Yeah.
And one time when I was 12, I went to the door with, I can't remember who it was. It was some other, you know, sister in the congregation, as they call the women, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And a guy opened the door, and the sister I was with gave her a little spiel. And then the guy very calmly said, I'm gonna give you 2 minutes to get this car out of my driveway, or I'm going to grab my shotgun.
Jesus.
And we're like, okay, sir, and we fucking hightailed it out of there.
People really hate Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, and I get it. I totally
because
get
you're
it.
You're bothering them.
You're bothering them.
They didn't even ask. And so
early.
Yeah.
You're bothering them early,
right,
on the weekend.
In opportune moments. It's not like
fucking Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. I mean, come on.
There were two types of Christian, what do you call it, what you do with Jehovah's Witnesses?
Proselytizing?
Yeah. Proselytizers in Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
and there's one at the very beginning of Bourbon Street, passing out flyers. Say, hey guys, put this flyer in your pocket. If you wake up in the morning and feel bad about anything,
yeah,
it's church service, whatever, just keep it in your pocket. You might wake up, and I get it. You might wake up like with whores around you, going like, oh, "This is a bet," and then like, "Oh yeah, maybe today's a day." You know what I mean? Okay, sure. And then there's the other type that's in the middle of Bourbon Street with a cross tied to his back. And be like, you're all going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
Heathen, what if your mother could see you? And those guys were different. Those guys, you mock them because they're coming at you way harder.
Yeah.
Jehovah's Witnesses are like bothering you.
They are.
They proselytize. Jews don't proselytize.
And you actually kind of have to threaten them for them to stop. Because if you just say, If you say not interested, they'll go away, but then they will come back within the calendar year at least one more time.
It's like Nats.
They keep records. Like they keep records of all the houses. Oh, yeah. You get, when you get broken up into car groups, they give you a territory map. Now it's with technology the way it is, I'm sure it's far more advanced than that. But we had a little like Xerox copy laminated map of a particular territory that this congregation covered, and you would go to that neighborhood and hit all the houses on those streets and keep records, you know, like number 47 not home, number 48 home, not interested, number 49
really.
Yeah,
wow. Now there's so many
and
questions.
And you would keep going. You would keep going until somebody lost their fucking mind on you, and then you would write it down as do not call.
Don't bother them.
Yes. But that's what it takes. Like, they have to be
like a
threatened.
Like, take me off
they have
your
to
list.
Be threatened to stop.
Wow, because otherwise you're going
to
keep
suppose,
going.
Yeah, if somebody was smart enough, if they had been, I don't know how they would know the lingo, but if they had said, do not come back here, take me off your list, they would also comply.
Would
but usually
that.
It was done under threats of violence.
Because it's the only way you know to, like, you're bothered. Dude, I just lost a friend that I had from high school where it was just, he's constantly trying to get me back to religion.
Yeah,
it was very annoying. And then it was the talking down to you. It's not like when somebody says, like, I think you'd really get a kick out of this. It's not like a book they're recommending or a show or something. You ever, but even that, when somebody recommends you a show over and over again, you're like, okay, cool. And they keep saying, it's like, you would love. And eventually, like, hey, dude, stop.
Yeah.
All right. You let me know already. Yeah. Or like, oh, no, here's a better example. Here's a good tagline for you. And like, all right, cool. And then like, hey, use that tagline. It's like, nah, I tried it. Like, nah, I tried again. And it's like, shut the... You're not a better writer than me. I tried your dumb line. Didn't work.
You're being treated
it's
like a
your
child.
Mind. Yeah, exactly. That's what you guys were doing to people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You haven't seen the light. You don't know the truth. We're helping you.
And I do.
We're saving you.
I'm saved. You're not saved. I'd like to get you here. And you want to be like, dude, I think you're wasting your life. So don't talk down to me like I'm wasting my life.
Yeah,
you have fucking 10 kids. You live in Israel. You're fucking going nowhere. It's all you're gonna wake up in the darkness of fucking eternity and go, ah, shit.
You grew up Orthodox or Hasidic?
Orthodox.
Orthodox. So one of the things that made me feel a little bit better was Jehovah's Witnesses have these assemblies and also convention. Did you see that documentary, One of Us? No. It follows the stories of three different Hasids leaving. And the hell that they go through, it's incredible. I had fucking
Hasidic people, they're
tears streaming down
insular.
My face the entire movie.
Really?
Because partially because I saw so many parallels between them and Witnesses. And they would have the Hasids would have these conventions at like Shea Stadium. You know, they filled arenas and they had, you know, the higher ups in the organization giving these speeches and they were on a jumbotron. And like,
oh, 770, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I went and listened to him.
I went
to shake his hand. He'll give you a dollar, a blessed dollar, which you have to give 10 bucks in. But they said they give out like about $1 million a year in dollars.
Yeah.
They bring in 10 million. But like this your dollar you get from the Rebbe is like, oh.
Sure. It's
weird,
sacred.
It's almost godlike, which is like not what they're into.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I would go to these similar, the New Haven Coliseum, which has now been demolished, is where we went. And the beginning of every summer, and for like 3 days, you're just sitting there in this horribly torturous, you know, steel halfback stadium seat where the cushion is just fucking shot, and it's just dark, dank, just disgusting old stadium.
Drift.
Listening to some fucking brainwashed drone just go on for hours. It was fucking torture. But anyway, we on the way to some of these convention centers, one in particular was in Monroe, New York, and we drove past this Hasidic community and seeing how they lived, which was like squalor, and just seeing how you know, the uniforms and everything, like Jehovah's Witnesses don't have a particular uniform. I would drive past that and be like, well, at least I'm not that, you know? It made me feel so much better. Like, this is hell. But that's worse. That's like the low. That's the next level.
Sorry if you're doing this.
It's all good.
But so you hated it while you were in it.
Oh
you
yeah,
were in it
yeah,
going
yeah,
like
yeah.
this sucks.
Yeah.
At what point did you realize like I don't care for this? Because I'm just gonna keep drawing these same parallels because it is really a big overlap. There's differences, sure. We have no Jesus. You have a Jesus, you know. But like that same indoctrination, that same like giant conventions and shit like that. So like. Like I was saying, I don't know if we were recording that or not, but like, you don't even know what you're in until you're out of it.
Yeah.
So like
until you have something to compare.
So like
it to.
At 7 years old, I wasn't like. I wasn't like, this sucks. I was like, oh, hopefully Purim comes. We can do that dress-up thing. You know, you don't even know. And then at some point, you're like, I'm starting to see more of the outside world, probably because of TV and stuff. And you're like, now I don't like this.
Right.
I hate having to fast on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, but you were trying to find things within the religion to get excited about?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you would still like, the march to the coast. So I was in seminary in Israel, and you march to the day that commemorates the giving of the Torah, the giving of the Bible by God.
Right.
And so you stay up all night learning from the Torah, and then sun up, like sunrise, the very first moment you're allowed to pray is right when the sun just comes up, and this is a different time every day. They know it, sunrise. That's I'm over-explaining it. Like, yeah, all right, I've heard of sunrise. And then you're allowed to pray. So you march and dance and celebrate the whole way from your yeshiva all the way to the Kotel, to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, the last remaining wall of the Second Temple. And you're dancing and praying and just jovial, like, we did it. We got the Torah. And then you pray your first opportunity to on that day, and you feel like legitimate joy out of it.
Yeah.
But now I'd be like,
ugh.
Yeah.
Repulsive. Yeah,
I'd be an observer, or I'd be like, I don't know. But like, when did you like start to feel like, blech?
Ooh, dude, I mean, very early age. It was just, it's like, it's soul crushing, you know? Like, even though I didn't know anything outside of it, I knew that other kids were living a different way, and they had their evenings free. They had their weekends free.
How did you know about the other kids?
Because I still went to public school.
Oh, wow.
So here's the thing.
So you
like,
could see it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's how you see what you're missing.
So I knew a lot of kids in my congregation that were homeschooled, and I was worried that my mom was going to do the same with me. Yeah. And I remember her saying, no, I'm not going to, I don't want to be your teacher. You're going to go to school, you know? But she still wanted me to maintain my same level of devotion and allegiance to all the rules and regulations, but she was like, well, I'm not going to, but now I know why they do that, because if you're really completely insulated, like in a really in the bubble, you shouldn't let your kid go to public school, because that is going to be a daily dose
I was for sure homeschool.
Of temptation.
My dad once forbid me from seeing, like, I had a friend who was troubled.
Yeah.
He had behavioral problems. And then he was like, you can't hang out with him anymore. I was like, why? He's my friend. And I get it now. I'm an adult now. I'm like, because he's a bad influence.
Right.
Like, the adult version of, like if we're hanging out and I start doing heroin, like, your wife's going to be like, listen, Ari's fine. I'm sure he helped you, but, like, you gotta cut that out, man. You got to cut him out of your life. You're going to start doing heroin. And you're like, no, I'm not. But you will.
Yeah.
I would for sure homeschool my kids.
Sure. Absolutely. It was that was where she really, if she really wanted to keep me in it, that's where she fucked up.
All the kids are bad kids.
Yeah.
The entire.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone, it's not even like a specific one.
That's another thing. I was the only Jehovah's Witness in my school. So every day I went to school worried that the entire school was going to get fucking nuked when Jesus Armageddon comes.
Oh, yeah.
Because you grow up believing in Armageddon that it could happen at any time, and anybody who's not a believer is just going to be incinerated in front of your fucking eyes.
Did you hear Metzger's joke about that? He doesn't want to live next to a gay?
No.
Because I don't want to be a fucking, what's it called when a bomb goes off and then it hits another building too? Like, it's a side building. It's called, not casualty.
Not ricochet?
No. It's like, they call those deaths like a certain type of death.
Oh,
like
not
acceptable losses, but you know, like, the fuck, there's a war term for it.
Yeah, but he uses that term.
Yeah, because I don't want to fucking be the side effect of your lightning strike. Right. You know, yeah, like God's gonna kill you, but now I gotta, just because I'm share a wall with you.
Yeah,
I gotta catch some fucking flack. You're the one fucking butts. Yeah,
I've honestly never met Metzger, and I know he grew up a witness as well. I would love to trade war stories with him.
I mean, he would talk your ear off, but he would love if you say, like, by the way, I was Jehovah's too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would love it. Yeah, the no birthday.
It's unfortunate we've never crossed paths for some reason.
Well, I guess no. He was
because I know he was really in it.
Wasn't he here while you were here in stand up? I guess you were
stand up. Yeah, though. Yeah. I started later than he did, but you know, I don't know. You know how there's so many fucking pockets
camaraderie
of stunts.
People that got out too.
Oh yeah, dude. It's like, yeah. It's, and that's another thing. I'm lucky to live in a time where, you know, when my brothers and sisters left when I was a kid, they had no support system. And
they
took off.
They got out.
Yeah. Three older siblings all got out. So all my mom's focus was just funneled into me. I was like, you know, I was like the fucking Obi-Wan, you know?
Yeah.
The only hope. And so, yeah, there was tremendous pressure on me because it was so important to her and all my siblings left. So it was like, you're going to be the one. But what the fuck was I saying?
Kurt getting out. Oh, the support group.
Oh, yeah. So, like, when my siblings left, they had nothing. Now there's a whole world of, like, ex-witnesses, you know, these apostate groups, as they call them. That's what you're labeled when you leave any sort
apostate.
Of structured religion.
You know what? I like that term. It sounds nicer. You know how the word right? cis I love sounds it. Like an insult?
Yeah.
And then when I found out what cis meant, like, you mean almost everybody?
Yeah. And, yeah.
But I'm like, they say it with such vitriol.
Cis.
Yeah, the cis
it's like
white
a hissing
man.
I'm snake.
Like, oh, what did I do?
Yeah.
Apostate sounds like a nice
sounds
thing.
Badass, right? Yeah. Apostate. It sounds
it
very
sounds religious.
Sounds, yeah, kind of regal.
Yeah.
So there's these, you know, these YouTubers that there one guy in particular, this guy Lloyd Evans, who is like, I gotta applaud this guy. He is like on a fucking crusade to like take them down.
Really?
Like exposing all this horrible shit about them. There's I never experienced it in my congregation.
Yeah.
But apparently I don't know if I'd say rampant. It's not on the level of the Catholic Church. Okay, but there's a lot of like unreported child abuse cases because they are so it's such an insular organization. They try to deal with everything in-house, mm-hmm. you know, and even saying things as ignorant as God will sort this out. Let's leave it in Jehovah's hands. Yeah, this kid's getting diddled by one of the elders who's single-handedly keeping this congregation afloat. But, you know, yeah.
They have in the Amazon, they have, like, they call it indigenous justice in Ecuador. So, like, I don't know who you would call it, the conquistadors came in and like, said, you guys are part of us now.
Yeah.
You know, half of them said, okay. And half of them were like, no. And half of those people got killed. And half the other half were like, still like, all right, we'll do half of your things. But like, so they have this mixture of Catholicism and whatever, like, animist fucking old-time religions and stuff. But they have their own justice system, which Ecuador in particular says, we will allow that. Like,
yeah.
That's your system. We can't come in and make you guys do our system. Now that they've, like, the conquistadors are out, right? So if somebody was, like, stealing a lot, they were doing, like, car thefts, they buried three guys up to their neck in the dirt and made everybody fucking watch them for a day. And it was like, what? It was like, is that too harsh? Like, it's indigenous justice. That's what they decided.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
the rule. So they're like, no one comes in there anymore. It doesn't. Right. But, like, that we'll handle it is, like, the law is not going to handle that.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, we'll do it.
Right. Right.
Jews have that same thing where if you're a woman and want to get a divorce from a man who's beating you, you can't just go to the law. You have to go to the religious people, and then they'll convince the guy to give you a divorce. And if they can't, then they send guys to beat him up. You could just go to the U.S. government and be like, "Hey, I want a
sure.
divorce," and they'll be like, don't
"Yeah,
just
yeah,
say,
of
like,
course,
yeah,
of course, exactly."
But they're
yeah.
like, "No, we
the
have
option
to
is
search.
There, uh-huh. just not if you want to stay, not if you don't want to be completely ostracized by the community." Jehovah's Witnesses, the only grounds for divorce is adultery.
Adultery.
So you beat the shit out of your wife every night.
Wow.
She can't go anywhere if she wants to stay in the congregation.
That's an ironic clap.
Yeah.
Doug Smith has broken up more rapes than anybody listening to me. So
yeah, I earned that.
Yeah, you earned that fake clap. The hell, you never knew Jim Painter. We always felt like if you actually high five, that means you agree.
Yeah.
So,
of course,
we did this thing where it's like, you ever get a blowjob from a girl and then you start to high five? He's like, yeah, and then you get her to blow it back into your mouth, and he's like, no, actively run away from the hand slap because otherwise it means like you're
yeah,
into it.
You did that too.
So, your brothers and sisters got out.
Yeah.
Are they ostracized immediately?
Yeah, like I, we didn't go to that meet. My mom didn't take us to that particular meeting. So we would go to meetings Thursday nights.
Yeah.
We'd meet meetings Tuesday nights, Thursday nights, and Sunday morning or afternoon. But three church services per week.
By the way, that's bullshit. We had fucking three per day, so 21. So,
really?
Yeah. You guys are the LA comics. So the Orthodox kid, New York
you think
comics.
You real?
Spots.
You think yeah. you bad? But they would announce disfellowshippings or disassociatings at the Thursday night meeting. They would announce it from the podium to the congregation, like a public shaming, you know?
So if you see so-and-so, you're not to talk to him.
Yes. So disfellowshipped is when you've done something to break the rules. You were like, please don't kick me out. And they're like, nope, you fucked up. You're out. Disfellowshipped is kind of against your will. Disassociating, which is far worse, which is what my brother did, and it took a hell of a lot of balls, and like he's kind of my hero for it. He wrote a letter to the congregation saying, I want no part of this. I don't want to be affiliated.
Don't try to get me back.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Disfellowship?
Disfellowship is when they kick you out.
When they kick you out.
Disassociating is when you flip the bird to them and you're like, I'm not fired, I quit.
Right.
And that's a way more badass to go out.
What's the third one? Disfellowship, disassociating.
Well, they would, because I never got either of those. I just stopped going to meetings when I was 20 years old, so I would be labeled inactive. So there's probably some old farts in my congregation that remember my mom and are holding out hope that I'm going to like see the light and come back someday.
Your mom is dead now?
Yeah, she died when I was... That's a genuine high five. That one I stand behind. I was just talking about that with my therapist today. How like she died when I was 17. She had a brain aneurysm, and that was what allowed me to leave. I kept it up for another 3 years because I didn't know anything outside of that. It was, you know, I technically had this freedom outside, but I was so ill prepared for it that it was like terrifying to leave this community that I knew. You know,
that's the hard part. I was talking to my buddy today about like how. He was telling me somebody who hadn't had sex with his wife in 15 years.
Yeah.
And not old, young, you know, and like shouldn't. And then like she gambled away a lot of their fortune too. And it's like, why do they stick with him? And he's like, yeah. The kids. I'm like, I know, but this is like a shitty situation. People just want to stay in what they know.
Yeah.
Over like even a better unknown.
Even if it's miserable. Yeah. Yeah. Familiarity trumps all else.
Yeah, which like, is, could be worse. I'm like, no, but I can't. And you're like, I don't know. I'm staying with it.
Right.
But yeah. So what'd you tell your therapist?
That, you know, your mother dying, no matter who you are, your mother dying when you're seven, at any age, when you're 17 is a huge tragedy.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it gave me a new life. You know, I wouldn't be where I am today without that happening. Because
your mom
I would
dying.
Yes, because I would have stayed in it out of allegiance to her.
Like a gay.
The pressure. Yes.
No, like, you know how they stay in the closet?
Yeah,
like dad
of course.
Dies? That's like a standard.
Yeah.
Not a standard, but it's a you've heard that story before.
Because you don't want to break their heart.
Yeah, and so you just live this lie of a life until you're like 50 years old, until you don't even want to fuck anymore.
And I definitely would have... Even if I didn't go that far, I definitely would have gone into it far longer than I wanted to.
17, she died, and then you got out.
When I was 20.
It took a few years.
Kept it up for 3 years with my dad and I just drinking ourselves into a fucking stupor every night. We became full-blown fucking alcoholics.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. We used to flip a coin to see who was going to drunk drive us to the meetings. Like, who's less drunk? And my dad has one eye, and you know he's old. So I oftentimes had a one-eyed drunk senior citizen driving me to meetings. Yeah. Because like, this is what we got to do. We got to, out of respect for the OG.
Are you sober now?
I quit drinking 2 years ago. Yeah.
Damn, dude. You're talking about whiskey makes me want to have a glass of whiskey.
You totally can.
I might. Maybe we'll do that and light up a joint. And at the same time, doesn't, make sure these fucking cameras.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Really?
No. I honestly don't miss it. Because I still smoke weed and...
So we can smoke a J. What? My wife got locked out, but I just bought a lockbox recently.
You should have bought her a fucking education. Who gets locked out? Hello, everybody. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank is not brought to you by the Church of Latter-day Saints. No, in fact, they'll probably have a problem with today's episode. It is brought to you... by 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. It's the industry leader in Delta THC products. Now, the Church of Latter-day Saints is the industry leader in Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonisms. Oh, wait, that's two different groups. You know what? Now that I think about it, both groups would have a problem with 3chi.com because 3chi and 3chi's Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC. And the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witness Church are really not concerned with the legality of THC. You got to be 21 and older to purchase this. You do not have to be 21 and older to join the Jehovah's or the Mormons. I'm going to drop the Mormon part of this now because I realized I just started it because I made a mistake and said Church of Latter-day Saints. It has nothing to do with Jehovah's, so I'm going to stop including them. But what I am going to include is that you go to 3chi.com, that's number 3chi.com, use the promo code SKEPTIC at checkout, you get 5% off your order. Well, isn't that a lot more than 0%? 5% off your order. If you go to 3chi.com, you can get Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, oils that can be used to make homemade edibles. It will not help you go door-to-door. Actually, it would for sure help you go door-to-door, having to talk to people. If you have to go door-to-door talking to people to convince them of the the traits and the possibilities of joining the Jehovah's Witnesses, I would use Delta 8 products. And if you're going to use Delta 8 products, why not get them at 3chi? 3chi.com. Use promo code SKEPTIC at checkout. Get 5% off your order. Thanks for the sponsorship, 3chi guys. Hi, everybody. Today's episode of Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Take Podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp.com. Guys, BetterHelp.com is not a crisis hotline. What? Oh, did you think it was a crisis hotline? It's not. It's not. It's therapy. Let me tell you all about it. Let's say you're upset. Let's say you can't get bad feelings in your head. Let's say you're focused on... claps for Marissa. Let's say you're focused on negative shit, like the Yankees losing 6-1 in horrible fashion, just barely making the playoffs, and then not even showing up, because what the fuck was Cole even doing out there if he wasn't going to fucking show up? We need a fucking ace reliever. But you don't get it, and you can't stop thinking about it. Normally, people go, whatever, get to next year and move on. But this fucking mental problems just fucking bring you in there. That's where BetterHelp.com comes in. They can stop you from obsessing about shit you shouldn't be obsessing about. They can help you get over your anxiety, over depression. It's great. It's therapy. BetterHelp.com/Ari. Join 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Yeah, they match you up with a fucking legit, like, therapist. New testimonials from users are posted daily. Oh, that's great. There are additional counseling in all 50 states. Go to BetterHelp.com/Ari. Better, H-E-L-P. .com/Ari to get 10% off your first month. One more time, that's BetterHelp.com/Ari. Guys, for real, if you're having problems focusing and just being happy, you want to get back to your happiness, you know? You want to get back to fucking Ecuador Ari, you know? Where shit was fucking good and everything was fresh and new. Remember those days where you were like vacation, the height of the pandemic, where you're boozing every day with your friends. You're like, damn, I wanted to have this feeling last forever. And then it doesn't last forever. And you want to get back there. Well, BetterHelp.com/Ari can help you. Let them help you. 10% off your first order. And it's already way, way cheaper than traditional therapy. So go on there and get your first month, 10% off. BetterHelp.com/Ari. Now, back to the episode. And again, they're fucking... All right, whatever. But they're great. They're legitimately great. If you're having any sort of... Even if you just want... like, even if not going haywire, just a little bit off... Go to BetterHelp.com/Ari and, like, just let them, like, get some counseling, man. It's fucking great. It's great. It's not a crisis hotline! Now back to the episode.
When, because my mom was 47 when I was born. She had, like, a glass of whiskey every night. I wouldn't say she was an alcoholic, but maybe alcohol, I don't know, dependent? What do you call that? One glass of whiskey every night?
Alcohol enthusiast. No, one glass of whiskey is just a fucking take the edge off.
Yeah, you're right.
That, I mean, it's weird that it's every day, but like one glass or a dram.
You build up a tolerance to that.
Yeah.
Like this, like up to, well, a rocks glass like this, but, you know, filled. Anyway, she gave birth to me late. She drank. I always kind of questioned if she drank during my pregnancy. I remember one time in a health class in like seventh grade, they were showing videos of birth defects that can happen from and drinking, and they showed the profile of a child with fetal alcohol syndrome, you know, like real kind of like slope nose, small chin. And my buddy leans over. He's like, "Hey, Doug, that looks like you." And it made me so fucking self-conscious. I remember looking at my profile in like the three-way mirror when I got home, be like, do I have fetal alcohol syndrome?
Your mom's like, we talked about that, possibly.
Yeah. She's like, I got to get through this cult somehow.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what was I saying before?
Your sister's getting
fellowshipping.
Yeah, your sister's getting out, your brother getting out, and you at 17. Oh, wait, you had 3 years with your dad. So your dad was in it, or your dad was in it because of your mom?
Because of my mom.
Only because of that.
Yeah, yeah, we both were. So he was kind of like a bystander for most of my childhood. Like, he wasn't opposed to it, but he went to meetings here and there and like went out knocking on doors. Not very, hardly ever. But then when I was like,
that's the kind of guy that's underrepresented in these talks about religion. The guy who's like, I'm doing it because they're making me, or because the community wants me to. I'll show up to synagogue late, but I'll be there.
The people that subscribe to Happy Wife, Happy Life, which
Sheldon Vice.
That's really shoveled down your throat. House. And it's like, what? Well, the husband doesn't deserve to be happy.
Just bend over and take everything.
Yeah.
Remember Burr's one of the early, like, advertisements he did was when they realized podcast ads don't have to be the way like TV and newspaper ads are.
Right.
It's about flowers.com or ProFlowers, one of those.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's Valentine's. He's reading the copy. He's like, it's Valentine's Day. You know your wife wants flowers, right? You got to get her flowers to keep her happy. And it's like, and he just breaks. And he's like, what the fuck is this? Wow, men can't enjoy a flower? We're getting, oh yeah, women are getting nothing out of sex. Only men are getting something out of sex. Like, you enjoy it too. Why did you bend over backwards because you convinced you to fuck us?
Yeah. I would love flowers. I do love flowers. Anytime I buy flowers for my wife, I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm getting enjoyment out of this too.
I like a lily.
It's just as much for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we kept it up for another 3 years.
3 years out of habit.
And then, yeah. So when I was 12, he got baptized. So that's another thing. You don't get baptized as a baby. You make the choice. That's one of the few things they give you a choice about.
Interesting.
Is when you choose to get baptized. That's your, you know, total devotion.
12.
For me?
Yeah.
I was 12 and my dad got baptized, and then I followed suit 4 years later. I was 16.
What's the standard age for that?
It's all over the map because some people convert later in life, you know.
But you were already there.
I was already there.
If you were raised in it.
If you were raised in it, there were you know, like the goody-goodies in my congregation would do it when they were like 12. One girl did it when she was 9, and it was like, well, I automatically hate this girl. You fucking kiss ass.
It almost seems like you shouldn't be able to. The idea of a bar mitzvah is it comes from a time when 13 wasn't a boy, when 13 was a man.
Right.
So it's like you're on your own now. Your sins are your own. Your dad's not taking your sins for you.
Yeah.
Like, get a job. You know,
right?
That's when it should be communion, not whatever it's called. Like, I accept this, but you can't do that with that pressure of the society.
Yeah,
like there's no way.
Sure, everyone's just waiting for you. And the only reason I did it, my mom got diagnosed with cancer when I was 13, so it was like I kind of felt like this kind of like ticking clock. Like she had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I remember her coming home from the doctor and telling me. And telling me that there was a 70% chance of survival, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, of course you're going to dwell on the 30 and be terrified.
Yeah.
So I was bracing myself for her to die for 4 years. You know, she was in and out of remission twice. But when I was 16, I was like, nothing would make her happier than to see me get baptized. To see her husband get baptized, and then to see her son get baptized. And so her last moments on this earth were of her husband and son being, you know, baptized in the organization.
I mean,
so she, you know, went out thinking things went great, and then we just kamikaze'd into drunkenness. Labyrinth? Oh yeah, love Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, it was a really cool directing.
Yeah,
like, but I think that guy lost it too. I think that guy's like
Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah,
it was, right?
I might be wrong, but I feel like he is one of those like lessons for everybody else.
Yeah.
Where, like, showed like amazing talent and fucking, and then now he's just doing standard shit,
right?
You know, go to like a Marvel movie kind of thing. It's like, what? Aren't you an artist? And like, yeah, I was when I was younger. Like, shit to stay away from. I might be wrong, but I think that's
You are right. I mean, in terms of, yes, he got catapulted into mainstream movie making.
Didn't he write like one of the Lord of the Rings or direct one of the Lord of the Rings?
I think he did one of the Hellboys. Yeah, he's done some more. But he's still, you know, incredible.
Not Guillermo del Toro. What's his name?
Yeah, that's it. No, I mean, that's Guillermo, the guy who did Pan's Labyrinth.
Guillermo del Toro?
Yeah.
I thought he's an actor.
Pretty positive. No, you're thinking of, are you thinking of Benicio del Toro?
Mm-hmm. I am.
Benicio del Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro, Mexican film director. Let's see. IMDb. Okay, here we're going to go. damn, dude. He looks like somebody I'd like to hang out with.
He does?
The Witches. Troll Hunters. Isn't
he a,
Wizards.
Isn't he a TV jolly mini-series. Fat man? He's a jolly fat man.
Troll Hunters, The Strain TV series he created.
Oh, The Troll Hunters is a kids show that I watch with my son. It's fucking incredible.
He wrote The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies.
Oh, wow.
The Hobbit, Desolation of Smaug, screenplay. He started writing The Hobbit ones, which is so weird for a guy who directs like the craziest, most interesting things. Hellboy, screenplay, okay. And Pan's Labyrinth, written by. He didn't direct Pan's Labyrinth?
Oh, he didn't? Oh, well, fuck him.
Fuck him is right.
What's he done for me?
Who directed Pan's Labyrinth? Because it's really a directing thing. It's an interesting...
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Director. He also directed it.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
But
take
anyway, at the end, when the guy's like, when the guy's like, hand over your baby, he's like, fine, here. He goes, tell them that, you know, what time I died and who I was. And they're like, we're not going to even tell them you existed. He won't even know you were alive. And he's like, God damn it. And then bullet in his brain. Yeah. Your mom went the other way. They're like, uh-huh, your kids are going to be good Baptist.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, man. So yeah, and so what's always terrified me is hearing about people losing a loved one when right on the heels of a fight or some sort of misunderstanding or a rift, you know? Yeah. Like, what if the last words you say to somebody are, I hate your fucking guts, and then they're done, you know? At least I had that going for me, that she was... Under the impression, even though I was already definitely questioning things and looking for a way out, she was under the impression that I was in it to win it.
Did you like her?
Again, yeah, I did. I did like her, and I think she could have been an amazing. She was a very kind of intelligent, silly kind of witty. Very loving person. She just got, and I could kind of see how that happens. If you feel like the world is a horrible place and tragedy is around the corner at every turn, which it is, I could see how Jehovah's Witnesses could be like a safe haven where you can just surrender your free will and just be like, I'm in this. I don't have to worry about anything else.
That is the best thing about
be
all the religions.
Follower.
It's you just like you take over.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the airport with like four or five friends or family or whatever, four or five other people, three people, whatever?
Yeah.
And it's always like, which way to the cab stand? And it's like everyone's looking. It's this way. It's this way. It's usually both ways.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's so fun sometimes to go like, I'm not going to make any decisions.
Yes.
We'll get there when we get there. I'm not going to be stressed about it. And they go, it's this way. And you see it's that way. But you're like, okay. And then you walk 10 feet. And they're like, no, it's... And you just turn around. But you just allow them to lead.
Yeah.
It's a fun, easy place to be.
Navigating your way through life is not easy. It's much easier to just be like, you got this. I'm going to fucking power down and
God
go into zombie mode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's also why, like, my dad converting, he wasn't missing out on anything. You know, he lived a normal life. He had a normal, fairly normal childhood. He went to college. He partied.
How did he get
was,
with your mom?
Huh?
How did he get with your mom?
She also did. She converted. She converted when she was... neither one of them were born into it. She converted.
You should have to get a divorce. If you change that drastically inside your marriage, you should have to get a divorce. If you lose a leg also, divorced. You know, anything. Oh, I'm into classic rock now. Divorce. Start over. You can get remarried. Let's go to the dates again, but the divorce has to be signed.
Yeah.
If you go that drastically, I'm super into golf now. All right, that's fine. You know, you really got to sign the divorce papers, but sure.
You'd say that about me starting stand-up.
100%.
My wife went from having me around every single night to...
That's not what she signed up
for. 3 years into our relationship, me being like, I do this now. Am I making money? No. In fact, I'm spending money every month, every night.
Yeah, I'm going to embarrass you in front of your friends.
And I'm going to come home drunk every night at 2 o'clock in the morning. This is me now.
Yeah. Yeah, divorce, for sure. divorce and then like let's date, let's see if it's if we want to do this. But yeah, 100% she shouldn't have to go through that. That right? wasn't what you signed up for.
No, not at all. But he just kind of went, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
You know, very passive guy. So yeah, she but again, she lived a normal life and that was a decision that she made.
Right.
If you want to choose that in your adulthood, fucking have at it, you know? Go for it. But to raise a kid that way from birth is it's abusive.
My dad worked
abusive
for this guy in Israel and dentist, I think. He's younger. I have a piece of his art. He used to paint these like light switch covers. But he was not religious. The rest of his family was, and he was like, "Listen, I'll pay for your religious studies, and I'll let you go to synagogue, whatever. Never bother me about it. If you bother me about it," and they did like once, when the kids were like average age, like 12, like, "Come on, we think you should come to synagogue." He goes, "You said it. Say it again. I'm pulling away all funding from any of your religious studies. I'm not interested. If you want to do it, go do it. Leave me out of it. I like that place to be."
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like if your mom's just like, it's my thing. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, she could have done it on her own, but yeah. Well,
Nate doesn't force his wife to play golf. He just plays.
Exactly. But unfortunately, that is one of the kind of linchpins. Is that a term?
Term.
Using a horror, doesn't have a racist connotation, does it?
Ooh, it sounds
I love how I'm dwelling on it.
Sounds like
I could have glossed right over that.
Triggering now.
Linchpin. Yeah.
Linchpin, like a pin to get.
Is there a pin involved in lynching?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Let's, guys.
Go to the hardware store. I need one of them lynch pins. None of your business what it's for.
I've had too many lynchings break apart last minute. It's very embarrassing. Lynch pin origin. Here we go. What do you think? You think it's going to be?
I'm fucking scared. I don't know any other kind of lynching.
Old English, Linus, means...
Jane Lynch. It's the only other Lynch. I know.
A lynchpin, also spelled lynchpin, L-I-N-C-H, or L-Y-N-C-H pin, or lynchpin, is a fastener used to prevent a wheel or other part from sliding off the axle upon which it is riding. The word is first attested in the late 14th century. Axle tree pin. What's the lynch?
I wasn't relieved until you told me what that wheel was doing.
Yeah. I was thinking like dragging somebody.
Yeah, like some sort of torture device. Okay, good.
No, yeah, I guess you're right.
So it's an instrumental part of the functioning of the greater.
Hold on, I'm gonna look up lynchpin racist. Here's some commonly used terms that actually have racist connotations. Four common phrases with a racist origin you should stop saying. Okay, it's got to be lynchpin. Although I feel like some of them are like
it's spelled differently though, right?
It is L-I-N-C-H.
Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. Oh, come on with the fucking ads.
So you're just... We got out of it, and now you're looking for ways to...
Yeah.
Throw me under the wheel.
Yeah.
But that's one of the... I feel safe using it. I'm going out on a limb. It's one of the linchpins of the organization is...
Yeah.
You want everybody to be on board. You know, that's your mission is to save everyone.
To process so you got...
Yeah, so your family... your family has to be there.
It's embarrassing if they're not.
Of course.
I bet they'd be like, "Hey, listen, you come in here, you converted 30 people, but at home." I bet that's a preacher would say that. But then your house is not in order?
Dude, there was tremendous pressure on my mom to have all of us on board. So that's why when all three of my older siblings left, she felt like, even though she was so in it and so devoted to it, she always felt a little bit ostracized because she always felt like her family was kind of like looked down upon.
She fucked up.
Like the Smiths, they're kind of
embarrassing.
Yeah. Like get your clan together, get them on board. So she felt this tremendous pressure. So obviously, I was the fall guy. Unfortunately, I was the last chance. You know.
So she put all her eggs into you.
Yeah.
Into your basket.
Yep.
Damn, that does suck.
But again, to be able to live a normal life and then convert to it, that's fine if you want to make that choice.
How did
but
she get
like,
caught?
How did she get what?
Caught into the net. Was it a door-to-door guy?
A shrimp boat. It was somebody came to her door. Well, I found this out very recently, actually, and I'm still kind of ruminating over it. My dad, they were living in my hometown in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and My dad came home from work one day to let the dog out because he had to work late. He didn't usually come home.
Who let the dog out?
Woof, woof.
So stupid. So fucking stupid.
Fun fact, my dad is one of the Baja men.
He was a Baja boy, and then when he became of age,
he's the black one.
One of the Baja men.
So he came home to let the dog out, and when he did, witnesses came to the door, and they, you know, pitched him on their whole horse shit, and then he...
pubic hair.
I put it there. He was like, he said... that's not really my thing, but my wife might be interested. You should come back tomorrow.
What a cunt.
Right?
What a dick.
So
he was just trying to deflect.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so sure enough, they you know, you give them permission to come back. Of course, they'll fucking be there. And they came back the next day when my mom was there, and boom, that was it.
They got her.
Yeah. She started, you know, studying with them. They'd come over to the house. It's called a Bible study, which they...
So strange. What did she have before that, religious wise?
She was Episcopalian.
Into it at all, or no?
No. She, I mean, she like went to church as a kid, but wasn't into it,
right?
You know, and Jehovah's Witnesses are a haven for, it's a haven for misfits, you know, like down and out people that are just, and they prey on those kind of people. They'll go to fucking nursing homes, you know, prey on older people that are about to lose their parents, their elder parents. You know, there's a hope for the future. If you survive Armageddon, you can live forever in a peaceful new world.
Damn.
Paradise for all eternity.
Which sounds nice. It does sound nice.
It does. It does. It's an allure for a little while. Then once you get to be a teenager, if you grow up in it and you want to be, and you're a teenager, you're like, I just want to fuck. I don't care about
any religion.
Forever.
You can't put blowjobs into the equation because it'll never add up to this is smart. The rest, fine. Yeah, it gives you a purpose. Okay. But then no blowjobs. You got to incorporate blowjobs. That's what that. Remember that documentary series about the guys in like Portland who got their own area, the West.
Oh, it's one of my favorite. Wild Country. It's
Wild Country. He was smart enough. What was the guy's name? Bhagavati? What is his name? I'm a yogi.
Well, they called him Osho. Was it Rajneesh? Rajneesh Purim? Yeah. Wasn't that the community?
Okay. Something like that. But he was smart enough to go, yes, sex is part of this.
No, I got to look that up. Yes, absolutely.
Osho, they called him. Osho.
Rajneesh. Yeah. That's him, right? Rajneesh. Yeah. Rajneesh, also known as... Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. Yeah.
The Bhagwan.
Yeah. Oh, he died in 1990. But yes, absolutely. Any cult where there's sex that's not with, you know, your immediate family members, great. I'm all for it.
It's like SATs. You start at 400.
Which, that's unfortunately another thing with Hasids, is they're so repressed that they the incest. We took my son to an amusement park in Bay Ridge for his birthday party. It's called Adventurers Amusement Park.
Okay.
And we went there on a Sunday, and it was the sea of Honda Odysseys in the parking lot. Yeah. As soon as I pulled in there, I was like, oh no. And I finally found a spot. It was packed, and we walked in there, and it was a sea of redheaded Hasid kids with Down syndrome.
They're inbred.
And it was so upsetting, dude. Yeah. I want to be like, I will convert now. I will get everyone I know to convert if you will stop fucking your cousin, please.
It's because here's the thing. It's not just that they fuck other Hasids. It's they fuck Hasids in their own community. So the Lubavitcher sect and the Satmar sect and the Bostoner sect and there's all these different sects.
Yeah.
And they're all do about the same thing. The costumes are a little different. Some have the high socks. Others have the long coat. It's all sort of different. Some have the big fur hats. Some have just the fedoras. But, like, you stay inside their sect, not just among all Hasids. So, man, there's some inbreeding. There's some cousin fucking.
It's heartbreaking, man. It's totally heartbreaking. These women, that their lives are fucking over.
They never think they're
no rights
anything.
Whatsoever.
Yeah, no. But also no rights for the
they're
men.
Just baby machines. No, you're right. You're right.
It's not like you have open possibilities.
More within that realm, but still, they're being oppressed simply by being a part of that. By being a part of that organization. Yeah.
So when your brother got out, were you allowed to talk to him anymore?
No.
No, he disassociated.
So there were, he left when he was, let's see, he was 16 when I was born. He left when I was, oh. I believe, Yeah, so my siblings were 14, 16, and 18 when I was born. So I was right at the age when they were all starting to, you know, dip a toe out into the outside world and then leave. My oldest brother, I hardly have any early memories of him because he was, second he was 18, he was cross-country in Arizona,
damn,
you know, getting into all kinds of crazy shit. And that's another thing. Jehovah's, when they leave, they go fucking crazy.
Well, Rumspringer, it's like the same shit.
But that's but a wonderful thing because you're letting, if they're really devoted to it, they will come back. And that's who you want in it anyway.
And the cool thing about Rumspringer is that, like what we were saying, like the social pressure on you to say, like, yes, I take on Christ and Jehovah is whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you about the root word of Jehovah. But like
Yahweh.
Well, yeah. But the social pressure is there. And you haven't known anything else. So, of course, what are the odds you're going to not say yes? I got into this fight with my Protestant friends. They say, like, you find Jesus, you go to heaven. I'm like, that's not fair. You were raised with Protestant parents. The odds of you finding Jesus are so much higher than the odds of me finding Jesus.
Sure.
So are we to think that God is unjust?
Yeah.
And they go,
yeah,
no, well, your reward in heaven will be greater. I'm like, but my odds of getting to heaven will be so much smaller.
Yeah.
And it's heaven versus hell. I don't know how much better in heaven you can have than someone else in heaven. It's way, it can't be the bigger difference between the smallest level of heaven to the highest level of hell.
Every human on the planet should be at the same starting point in terms
American
of
Indians,
their...
just no chance.
Yeah.
After Jesus came, they didn't know about him. No chance of going to heaven.
Right.
That's not a fair, if you believe in a fair God. That's
just because Jesus wasn't a household name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not right. So at least with Rumspringer, they're like, go out, go have a great year. Fuck all the hookers and sluts and whatever. You know, there's some Rumspringer groupies. And like, at that point, they're like, do you want to come back? You'd be like, to where? Oh, fuck, that shit from the year? Nah, I'm not even doing it. There's no social pressure anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's the perfect time to say, no, I have missed this.
Right.
That's real.
Yeah, yeah.
Bar mitzvah, that ain't real.
Right. Let them come back. No one's going to want to come back when they're being fucking spanked. You know, that's their first ousting is a public shaming from a fucking podium for the entire congregation to gasp, you know. It's audible, just, you know, so-and-so has been disfellowship. Looking around the room, are there parents here?
And
oh,
they
should be ashamed.
Must, right?
Yeah. That's why my mom, we didn't go to the meeting when my brother was announced.
I would,
you know?
If I was the rabbi there, or the priest, what a priest?
Elder. Elder.
Yeah. I would say, you shouldn't show up because we're going to probably be hard for you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some parents are like, no, I want to. I failed and I want to get the abuse.
Yeah. Cast it upon me.
Yeah,
sure. So, but yeah, I watched. So when my brother was disassociated himself, there were years, and he went off the rails too, you know. Like, the first thing was he shaved his head, he bought a motorcycle. There was, you know, nothing crazy, but like
crazy
drugs, drinking, just, you know, sex, all normal shit that he would have just gotten out of his system.
Yeah, that rabbi
anyway.
Friend of mine is like, you smoke drugs. I'm like, you keep calling weed drugs, man.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't even know how to tell you how fucking backwards you are.
Right.
For pitying me for smoking some reefer.
Yeah. Give it a try, dude. It'll change your world.
I had a friend who went to a therapist, and her therapist was like, maybe you should quit smoking weed. She was like, oh no, that's not the issue here. He's like, well, you can't help. It's like, hey, I'm gonna find another therapist. Like, I don't want to concentrate on the weed. Like,
right,
you're hung up on a thing that I'm not, that ain't my issue.
Yeah. Oh dude, I know. I'm so grateful that my therapist is, he's almost like encouraging of it. He's like,
really?
Tremendous art has been created under the influence of people on cannabis. He calls it cannabis. I love it. He's not trying to be funny. It's genuinely the inflection he uses.
Cannabis?
Yeah. Think of all the wonderful works of art, the wonderful music that's been created under the influence of cannabis. I'm like, yeah, goddamn right, cannabis. But yeah, he went off the rails a little bit, and then he went into the Marines.
Ooh,
which
that's
is
the big issue. That's you really changed your life.
Because Jehovah's Witnesses are neutral, so any allegiance to any sort of government affiliation,
exemption from the Israeli army.
Yeah, yeah.
They're like, no, we don't believe that Israel should be a country right now.
Right.
The Messiah. So I guess the religious right over there goes, they shouldn't have to serve in a government.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very strange.
It is, yeah. So I like, he did that, and then he married, and he married a Catholic woman, and then he converted to Catholicism. So it was like my mom got like a fucking prison shanking in the shower, you know, just like gah, 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 one after another. And just witnessing all these phone calls, these tearful phone calls. Oh my God, you what? What now? You know, just,
can you imagine feeling that level of shame and failure
when he was just living his life?
It doesn't even matter. I'm talking about your mom.
And he's so successful. Mm-hmm. He's has got a wonderful family, four kids, happy marriage.
And they want you to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
My dad used to feel bad when I ate a cheeseburger. And now he doesn't care one way or the other. And yeah, it's a way happier place to be to care about cheeseburger intake. You know?
Yeah.
It's just like you don't have to feel anything over this.
You got to pick your battles. But witnesses are like, they have so many principles and doctrines that are like, that you would have hoped would evolve over time, like their stance on homosexuality.
What is it?
It's considered disgusting. It's forbidden. It's a horrible sin to commit. And it's like, we're in 2021. Look at the way the entire world's opinion, some places more than others, has shifted. Like, if you guys want any new recruits, you got to loosen your stance on that. Like, that's fucking nuts.
They can't.
There was even a...
That's the interpretation of the... So there's custom and there's law.
And I'm sure that's the thing. I'm sure they know it.
But law you can't change. The rule's the rule.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can't backpedal. They look like idiots.
Christians do it. No eating any meat during Lent. And they go, I'm like, all right, how about just Fridays? All right, how about just give something up once a week during Lent? And it's like, oh, you guys fucking came down. But I don't think that's a Bible law, Lent. I think post-Bible law.
Sure. That's another thing I was thinking about the other day. Like, Jehovah's Witnesses pride themselves on all their teachings being completely Bible-based, you know? And, like, if anybody questions anything, it's like, well, that's what's in the Bible, and we're following, and it's like, oh, well, if the Bible says so, okay. And then you reach a point where it's like, well, why the fuck are we trusting the Bible? The Bible is a book. There's plenty of great shit in there. There's plenty of good teachings in there.
No. I disagree. I mean, so it's like, you watch a movie.
Yeah.
Spider-Man got bit by radioactive spider.
Can I hit this again? Yeah.
He can't fly suddenly because that's not the world you set up, right? But you did set up a world where he has some spider-like abilities. He can't read minds. That's not a spider-like ability, you know? So you set up the world, and then you have to abide by the rules of that world. God wrote the Bible. So, no, it's not some good ideas and some not. The all-knowing God wrote that.
Yeah.
No, you can't pick and choose. It's God. So you know what they told me? They said, why can't Jews eat bacon, eat pork? And they go, well, maybe because of tapeworms. They didn't know tapeworms back then. It was dangerous. So it was like a self-serving thing that maybe God knew about, or I don't know, the universe knew about, to warn Jews, don't eat pig because tapeworm will kill you. Which was like, when? Was it that bad a problem where tapeworm was killing everybody? But the rabbi's like, no, the real answer is why you can't eat pig is because God said. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's not up to us to know.
Right.
We're filling in the blanks, but no, you can't pick and choose the Bible.
No, you can't. So like,
if God says no gays, then it's no gays.
So, like, that's one thing for them to adhere to everything in the Bible. And if they do that alone and they stand behind that, fine. It's when they add things to it that are not in the Bible where it becomes problematic.
True.
So, unfortunately, there are scriptures in the Bible about homosexuality. That doesn't mean that it's fucking right.
You know the Jews version of it? It's an inclination and to be avoided like other inclinations. So it's on the level of gluttony, drunkenness, homosexuality.
Yeah.
They say, and this is deep cuts, I'm giving you now, but like, it's just an urge that some people are afflicted with.
Yes.
And
having
like the urge is not the issue.
Yeah.
So you would never not be allowed in a synagogue.
Right.
Just same way a fucking fat guy would never not be allowed in a synagogue. You should stop eating that much.
Right.
It's gluttony. It's a high up sin. Higher than don't lay with a man,
yeah.
To be honest. Gluttony is a worse sin. That fat guy is still welcome in the synagogue. Don't be fucking eating during synagogue, or don't be fucking a dude's butt during synagogue, but that's it. Now, of course, that's
no
backwards.
No slurping whipped cream off a dude's cock, fatty.
It's wrong, but like, at least it's like, we get what it is. You're not evil. It's just like, this thing is evil.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still wrong, but like, I don't know.
But what was really heartbreaking was seeing men, especially in my congregation, that were clearly gay.
Yeah.
who were married to women because they just had to fucking push it down. And there were two dudes who were, one of them in particular, I've always been tempted to get back in touch with him because I really like this guy, but I know part of the religion is trying to lure me back in. So for that reason, I can't.
Oh, yeah.
But he was like, he was an amazing artist, like the most dapper dresser you've ever seen, an amazing fine artist. He did like interior decorating. He did window displays for like Saks Fifth Avenue, like incredibly artistic, brilliant guy. And he was married to a woman, and so was another guy in the congregation. And they had a home furnishing restoration business together that was called Backdoor Farms.
What?
That's what they named their business, Backdoor Farms.
Really?
Yes. Like they were, it was almost like they wanted to get caught.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they fucking named it. Two closeted gay men had a business together called Backdoor Farms.
No, I don't get it.
I have no idea. It was almost like they wouldn't think that Jehovah's Witnesses would even
think on that level.
The euphemism would go completely over their heads, you know? Isn't that insane?
You know, there's a priest cruise? Is it Catholic priest cruise?
No.
So they go. There's a Impractical Jokers cruise.
Right.
There's a, you know.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah.
Ship Rocked. Big J plays. It's metal band.
Sure.
There's a priest cruise. It's only priests and no women allowed because they can't. You know, the priests can't be around women. And so it's a bunch of priests all alone with no witnesses, just priests on a cruise. Just dudes.
As far as you know. Until a boat pulls up and lowers a net of young boys into the pool.
It's gay. I think most of the priests that are hiding some are hiding their homosexuality.
Yeah.
Not their fucking pedophilia.
Oh, I'm sure.
But
I'm sure.
But no one's like, who cares?
That's just their only outlet to act it out on.
All they're doing at that cruise is gay fucking out at sea.
Yeah.
They're getting it out. Because all those people sign up for priesthood because they're like, oh, I got this evil inclination.
Right.
I got to go to a place where I'm not even allowed, even if I was straight.
Yeah.
To do the thing.
You always got to question people that have swung too far in either direction, you know?
Yeah.
And that's part of that, you know? You're making up for something.
I love it. Clearly, Backdoor Farms. Come on.
Yeah, man. So,
what do you miss about the place? About the stuff?
About Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah.
Honestly, now that I've been out for 20 years and I've done it all, it's great to not celebrate holidays. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
I get that.
Like, I am able to enjoy it now by proxy of having a 6-year-old son, you know? So for his sake, I enjoy it. I enjoy seeing him enjoy Halloween.
The pressure. Halloween's a bad one. You got to dress up. You got a costume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is pressure.
Oh.
So I enjoy seeing him live a life that I didn't have. It's my greatest joy in my life.
Yeah.
Truly. And if it wasn't for, I would have no use for that. I mean, I had fun with Halloween, but like Christmas, any kind of forced fun is repellent to me.
Dude, I would.
It's a special day. You have to enjoy this day.
I'll wear a costume on a normal day. I'll wear a costume for fun. Let's just like we're all wearing costumes. I thought, okay, cool, I'm in.
Right.
But not for Halloween when you have to.
Yeah, yeah.
I would, in LA, I would lock my
imposed
door.
Imposed mandatory.
Yeah.
Ritual.
The gifts of Christmas and Valentine's Day. It's like, come on.
Dude, my
it's so obvious.
My first Christmas, I went fucking buck wild buying gifts for everybody. I spent like $700 on gifts.
What a sucker.
And I got a bunch of shit in return. I can't even tell you what I got that year. I was just like, oh man, this was a big...
It's better not to have it.
This is a huge letdown.
Yeah.
And New Year's is awful and like... I would love to reincorporate that. Holidays are pagan. I'll stand behind that.
Yeah.
Holidays are pagan. Keep them out of your life.
That's a good thing to miss.
Yeah.
Not having it. When's your birthday, by the way?
January 2nd, which is the worst possible day to have a birthday.
Damn.
Everybody is done, man. New Year's Day, at least you can still be like, it's New Year's Day. January 2nd, everybody's done.
What are you
Nobody wants to do
about?
Anything. So it's almost like I was blessed with that birthday.
So you wouldn't have
to celebrate.
Because
my birthday I went from not having it to having it suck.
How do you even know that's your birthday?
January 2nd?
Yeah. What did they tell you guys when your birthday is to not celebrate?
they burned your fucking birth certificate. So my mom, they would not even say the phrase happy birthday. My mom would come into my room every morning, not every morning, every January 2nd morning and sit on the edge of my bed and be like, You know what day it is?
It's beating you day, so you don't have any joy out of this.
You know what day it is? We're very happy you were born. And she would, like, you know, make clear eye contact with me to almost kind of conveying, like, you know what I wish I could say, but wow. I can't.
You know what Jews
and
have?
And that was it.
Jews have, you can't count people. You can count things, not people.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Because it puts a, I don't know the answer to that one. I think it's because it puts, I don't know what the answer is. So you can't say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the answer is, the real answer is don't do it, right? Don't count people.
Yeah.
But same thing with that loophole. They go, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4. That's what they say, not, and then the number.
Yeah.
You know what day it is today. We're happy you're born.
Yes.
You know what the fuck you were doing, Mom?
Right.
You know what the fuck that was. That was you saying happy birthday.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's supposed to not
like,
care
it was
at
like,
all.
It was like a cheat code, yeah. Yeah.
And no holidays, not even Jesus Day?
Well, the only holiday they do celebrate, which is not much of a holiday, is Nisan 14 on the Jewish calendar, which is the day that Jesus died.
Yeah.
Nisan?
Yeah.
What did I say? Nisan?
Yeah.
Nisan? Like, okay. That makes it much easier.
Yeah. It's spelled Nisan.
I was like, it can't be the car. Why don't they name a car that for Super Jesus
Their
freaks? Maxima,
yeah.
Altima,
it was
14. I got the new 14. That's the only day they celebrate is the anniversary of Jesus' death. And they...
that's when we're all saved.
Yeah. So they pass around unleavened bread and wine, and only those that are of the... Do you know about the 144,000? You know about them, right?
I do.
That's
explain
like
it.
That's
it's
like,
been a long time since I heard this. That's Jehovah's?
Yeah.
Who have this?
That's Jehovah's.
This is nuts.
Who have
because
this?
This takes away any sort of free will.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of the most problematic things I've ever heard of in religion.
Well, it's not something
Why
that
you
have
you
try? To
try.
It's not something that you have to try to attain. It's something that you supposedly have a divine sign given to you. There's some sort of divine intervention that you suddenly it occurs to you. I'm meant to rule in heaven alongside Jesus Christ.
I'll tell you what it is. 144,000.
So they believe that after Armageddon, the world, you know, all evil will be destroyed. Basically, everybody who's not a Jehovah's Witness obliterated. 99.9% of the world.
Mashiach
out.
To come. The Messiah.
Yeah.
Right. Blood and shit like that. Like the sky will turn.
Yeah, like fire and brimstone.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just everyone's just incinerated in front of you.
Yeah.
So after that happens,
and then some go up, right? Is
yes.
this what that is? Okay.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So that after the
Sorry.
Of the survive, it's all good. Out of the surviving people.
Yeah.
The world will then be transformed into a beautiful paradise, the way that God always intended the world to be,
with way less people.
With way less people,
because overcrowding. This is the plot of the fucking Infinity Wars.
Yeah.
Right?
Now that you're saying it, it doesn't sound so bad.
Wasn't
I think it makes sense.
The guy with the Infinity Stones, didn't this what he was trying to do? Just cut the population down?
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm talking
right.
about?
Yeah. I'm not a big Marvel guy,
Marvel.
But yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
With Infinity
okay, so
War, yeah.
Suddenly
yeah,
half the population
yeah, right.
will be dead.
What's his name? Charizard? No, Thanos?
Thanos, that's it.
He's,
this is Thanos.
He's Jehovah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
It's the same theory. Cut down the
so
population,
love that
things
shit.
Will be way better. Dude, I signed.
I wonder if
that
that's
one.
Like secret Jehovah's Witness propaganda.
Maybe.
That's how they lure you in now.
Dude,
wow.
Writers are smart. They
yeah, 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 yeah. But they believe that the world will be transformed, where man and beast will live together in harmony. There's these paintings in these publications where
yeah.
there's like a kid rolling around in a field with a panda bear, and you know you see that as a kid, you're like, and your mom's like, that could be your future if you do this, if you adhere to all these rules,
yeah.
and completely abandon your free will, you can roll around with a panda bear.
Because you'll be one of 144,000 people.
No, the 144,000, so there are people of the
okay.
great crowd that will live on this earth, and the 144,000 are the ones that have received that divine intervention, that sign
bonus.
That they, when Armageddon happens, they actually, you know what? They all have deceased before Armageddon comes. And these are people of deceased Jehovah's Witnesses that are resurrected
wait,
from
wait,
the
wait.
Dead.
Sorry. Start. Say it again. Say it again. I'm trying to follow.
Everyone in the 144,000 will have died already before Armageddon comes.
Long before.
Not always long before. Maybe
but,
even
but
the
like
day
over
before.
The years. It's
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
140,000
yeah.
of all
over
eternity,
time.
So
over
from
time.
Jesus to now, or even before Jesus. 144,000
yes,
are destined to be these people.
Yes. So, 144,000 are destined to be resurrected from the dead to rule with Jesus in heaven over the earth
so
that has been transformed.
So one of those guys was in the Civil War. Another one of those guys died at sea.
Well, not if he was Jehovah's Witness. He wouldn't have fought in the Civil War.
Right. Right. You have to be Jehovah's Witness to be one of those.
Yes. Yes.
And that's already just preordained. You're either one of them or you're not.
Right. So every...
But you can... Okay, okay. But you can pray and be a good person and get to just rule on earth.
Yeah.
Which is also a bonus.
Which
okay,
is totally fine.
There's
yeah, yeah.
To try for.
Right. Sure. Okay. Either way, it's pretty cool.
Okay.
So this celebration, they just call it Memorial Day. That's what it's called. It usually falls sometime in April.
Yeah.
It's a regular church service where they, you know, read various scriptures about Jesus at the time of his death, and then they pass around unleavened bread. And
oh,
then they,
Passover time.
Yeah, and then they pass around wine, and anybody who's
Wait, unleavened bread. Yeah, okay.
Anybody who's of the anointed, it's supposed to signify Jesus' body, Jesus' blood, once he gave his life as a ransom sacrifice.
Matzah, though.
I mean, I never
Passover?
Ate it, so I don't really know what it was.
Yeah,
it was always
Passover.
Just on a plate. I never even saw the box.
So the history is. The Last Supper was the first, there was a Passover Seder.
Right.
Right? So they were Jewish. So they were like, he was about to be killed. So the Last Supper was this big, normally big dinner night.
Right,
which
right.
Is the first night of Passover. Which means he
was like, why don't they do that?
The next
day. We had nothing to look forward to. This was the celebration, which the only celebration was watching the plate go by, watching the wine glass go by, waiting for it to be your turn to pass it, hoping you don't dump it on your fucking khakis and get beaten to death by your mom. So you're just passing the wine glass, passing the bread, and then you're just looking around to see if anybody's eating it, because that was signifies who's of the anointed. And it wasn't something that they would talk about, so you would only know it if you watched them partake.
Who anointed them?
It's God. They yes.
So you just decide I'm going to take this?
Yeah. And I theoretically could have, as a fucking 12-year-old, taken a slug of wine and be like, guys, I'm anointed.
Yeah, but someone must have.
I hope to God that has happened. I hope to God, yes. Nothing would make me happier than to know that that has happened. Which, if you can think it,
just going like, has, they don't know.
Yeah. Fuck you guys, I'm going out and just downing the entire glass.
Yeah, well, like, you know, like, I'm anointed. And they're like, and you know, they probably, half of them don't believe it, and half of them are like, stop. That's that anointed. Don't talk to him like, what?
Yeah.
Dude, wait, this is so interesting. You guys do matzah on that day that fell out on Jewish Passover.
You'd have to ask Metzger. He seems to remember more about this shit than I do, honestly.
Okay. And what's that day called? It's the 14th of Sivan of Nisan.
Nisan.
Yeah.
Nisan 14.
Death Day. No, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. That's what they call it.
Day and matzah. Okay.
And that's one of those things that even though I'm inactive now, if I was to run into somebody from my congregation, I go back to my hometown a lot because my brother moved back there recently.
Yeah.
So I always, anytime I go to the bagel store, the grocery store, CVS, I'm always thinking I'm going to run into somebody from my congregation, but I haven't. But if I did, that's one thing that they would always invite you back to would be the memorial. You know, like even if you don't do anything else, don't go to any other meetings, like come to the memorial. That's like a big deal for them.
That's your
for everybody to be a part of that.
Is it because part of it's like a family, like everyone comes back that day. It's high school reunions happen. And
Kind of, but there's no celebration, you know, like why not make it a fucking celebration? Do something to keep people invested in, you know, like. There was nothing. There were some families.
No celebration of any kind because John the Baptist.
My family had one
God
day.
Damn.
My
How
family had
he?
One day of the year, as did a lot of other families in my congregation. I don't know about outside of my congregation if anybody else does this, but we had one day of the year just called Family Day, and it was basically Christmas on an arbitrary day. You know, pick a day. It's Family Day.
Yeah.
Presents. Everybody gives presents. No tree. No green and red combos. You know, no caroling.
None of the other shit, but
we'll trade shit, and it's family day, and we'll have dinner together.
I love the cheats people do for religion.
Yeah. So we had that, and it was often
Were there
right.
Prayers?
It was often right in between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh, right.
It was always like early to mid-December. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why Jews do Hanukkah bigger, because it's like one of our lowest holidays, but like it falls right around Christmas, so like take off, they're taking off.
Yeah.
School and stuff, we may as well too.
But I've felt so repressed from not having holidays. You know, when you're a kid, that's what you miss the most. That's what you want the most. So for my son to be able to celebrate all the holidays, so like my wife is half Jewish, so he's, you know, he's a quarter Jewish. If anything more, if your mom's Jewish, it counts, right?
Yeah.
Count it.
Well, is your mom, is her mom Jewish?
Her mom converted, but her dad, no, her dad was Jewish. Her dad was converted. Jewish, her mom converted.
Yeah. Before she was born?
Yes.
Then she's Jewish.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
All right, so my wife is she's not practicing at all, to the point where I had to advocate for us to celebrate Hanukkah this past year. I was like, we're well within our rights to celebrate Hanukkah. Yeah. Let's fucking do it. Like, let this kid do it all.
Yeah.
Christmas and Hanukkah.
Yeah.
So I'm very much, you know, most of my life since getting out of it has been, unfortunately, which has led to a lot of disaster, is trying to make up for lost time, you know? Because it was 20 years of my life. Just
I know. I get it. That's why I'm with drugs and fucking... and like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you are doing it, man. You live life way more than most people do. You see the world. You don't live in your phone. It's
I'm trying to do now. I'm a little addicted to it right now. I'm trying to go every month for October a little bit. You know how it tells you how much time you've been on there and if you've been up or down.
I've never checked
week?
That. I'm too afraid.
No, it pops up.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to make it go down every week.
That's good. That's a good goal.
Yeah. Getting bad with people now. Have you noticed it or no? Is it just me?
You know what's the real signifier that it's bad is when you see old people doing it. Like I'll see like, you know, grandparents with their grandkids at the playground.
Yeah.
And it's like they're on their fucking phone too. What are they? Are they checking their Twitter feed?
I feel like
feed?
It was always kind of bad. And I feel literally like 3-4 months ago, I feel like I felt like damn, it just got way worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not
I
good.
I don't know. Even if it didn't, but it's bad. What percentage of people get out of this thing?
Apparently the number keeps going up.
Yeah,
and I kind of attribute a lot of that to this guy that I mentioned, that guy Lloyd Evans, who has this channel where there's a lot of debunking of Jehovah's Witness indoctrination, you know.
Yeah.
One of the things that they do, which is fucking insane, I didn't really realize the extent of it growing up.
Yeah.
I kind of did, but I kind of put it out of my mind. They don't believe in blood transfusions. So
they exist, or they don't believe in doing it. Like, no, that's
I don't know what they put in me,
mirrors.
But I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
They don't believe in getting
doing
them.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? I could see that.
That it's bad.
One. Why?
Something about kind of like playing God.
Yeah.
It's not your blood.
Blood's
you don't
a
have the right
thing.
To intervene.
Retarded, but I get it.
Yeah.
I get where they're coming from on that. Yeah.
And again, if you want to choose that in your adulthood, go for it.
but once you're in for most things and you're like, oh, I got to get a blood transfusion because of this. And like, didn't we tell you the first month? Like, I wasn't really, what? Like, no blood transfusions. And you'd be like, I mean, I've been in for 10 years now, but I might not have come in if I had known that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a deal breaker. But
wow, that's
a weird
one.
Okay. I was, from the time I went to school, from the time I went to kindergarten, when I had my own ID, whether it was a little wallet or something in my backpack, carried a card signed by both of my parents saying, under no circumstances, give this child a blood transfusion.
Damn.
And this was a signed legal document that I carried that was renewed every year. There would be like a whole procedure at one of the meetings where they would hand out new ones. You'd have a co-signer. You'd have a witness signing off on these. All the adults obviously would too.
Fucks with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're a doctor, you're like, he needs a blood transfusion. Like, he's not allowed. You'd be like, what?
You see the car? Yeah.
Obviously, give him a blood transfusion. Like, it's
and there
legal,
have
dude.
There have been doctors that have overruled that and saved witness kids. And there have also been thousands of
Does
witness
he
kids.
Own the witness kid then after that? Is it like feeding a baby bird where now you have to take care of it forever?
Yeah, he just wakes up, mama.
Yeah. and what do they do? Are they mad?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you would never be accepted back into the fold, you know, full throttle. You'd always get kind of side-eyed, like, you're dirty, you're contaminated. But I carried around one of these from the time I was, you know, 6 years old. And the idea of doing that to a child is mind-blowing. Bonkers. Dude. It's mind-blowing.
Because it's let him die.
Yeah, it is. It's like, let him die. Again, wow. It's in Jehovah's hands.
I get it. That's a lot of them I don't get. I get that one.
The idea of now that I'm a parent, and I didn't realize, obviously, until I was a parent, you know, you kind of know, I was conscientious, like, this is kind of like a death sentence that I'm carrying with me at all times.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I better be fucking careful.
If looked at, you're fucked.
Yeah. 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 So, yeah, but the idea of sending my son into school, like, you have to fill out shit when you know, all these forms, and your kid is enrolled in school. In case of emergency and we cannot contact you, what should we do? I just write down, hospital. Like, what is the fucking question here? You know, what should we do? Do what you got to do. You know, so for a parent to sign off on that is mind blowing to me.
We have
that's the extent
brainless.
Of the brainwashing. That's how you know brainwashing has really been
Because they were
thoroughly
like, I'm putting
done.
My kid in danger.
Yeah.
So I believe in this thing.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. People go the other way usually. I got to get another fucking.
Well, I got our thing.
You got a lighter?
Yeah.
There's one over there too. Jews have a smaller one of that, of no giving away your organs, which doesn't hurt us, though. But that's a standard. Like, nope, got to sign that, because not a lot of it. Got to be buried whole. Right. What do you got, a whole kit there?
Yeah,
you got?
I've had this for so long. It's an old Bose headphone kit.
Wow.
That's where I keep my joint cases, lighter,
one hitter.
Yeah.
And a charger for any sort of vape?
Yep.
Damn, dude, you fucking go for it these days, huh? You just filled in with the no alcohol.
People are so proud of me for quitting drinking.
Wow. You're like, no, I'm fucked up all day, every day. What are the two joint holders? For two joints?
If there's like one that's half full and one that's...
God damn, that's professional.
I remember...
Yeah, the stink gets on their other joints.
Yeah.
If you put in a half...
Yeah, you don't want to combine them. I remember busting this out a couple of years ago with Anthony DeVito. He did a double take. He's like, look at Amy Winehouse over here.
Yeah, I'd be like, whatever. Oh, and this is my favorite kind of one-hitter. It pushes out on its own.
Yeah. And I hate one-hitters, but if you gotta do one...
It pushes out on its own.
Yeah.
Guys, it's a quick word from our sponsors. Today's episode has been brought to you by the one-hitters that push out on their own. You push the back, and then it pushes out on their own.
I like to pretend it's like a protruding anus.
And then what do you do with it? Push
you
it back in?
Smash the excrement into the ashtray.
Where's the butt? Where's the anus?
This. And then
it's that whole thing is coming out of the butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes it a little more fun. Do a little role playing with your one hitter.
Thank you for our sponsor. Now back to the episode. Yeah, this is legit. I like it. I always have a saying that a gentleman always carries around two joints with him.
Do you?
Yeah. Because you don't want to have to think, maybe there'll be a better moment for this joint. Like, oh, I don't want to do it right now. I'll save this for tonight. You know? Like, if you feel like, I should smoke a joint, now just smoke a joint. Don't worry. You have one in the backup.
One in the chamber, yeah.
Yeah. And then who cares if you go home with a joint? If you don't, you know?
Sure.
Worst case scenario, you're going home with a joint for tomorrow. But best case, you're out.
Oh, yeah. I am glad I've navigated away from one hitters. That shit was wreaking havoc on my lungs.
Really?
I felt like when I first moved here, just bopping around the city, you know, after dog walking.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for 13 years, dude.
You did dog walking? For Veter?
No. I started working for a service for 2 years. Shit.
I had the microphone down this entire time. I'm a fucking idiot. I'm sorry.
Oh, we're testing these.
I was a dog walker for 13 years.
I'm supposed to run this ship.
So, yeah, it's not your problem. What the fuck?
Wait, who'd you work with? JF?
No, I worked on my own, and then I met my wife doing dog walking.
She
was also
a dog
walker.
That's a best case scenario for
one of those
things.
Interspecies friendships, the beautiful thing. Friendships gone too far. But that's how we met. She's a therapist, but that's how we met. I was a dog walker for 13 years. And why am I telling you this? I was getting somewhere with this.
One hitters.
Oh, one hitters.
using one of those wooden dugout things. Do you remember those? Yeah. Did you ever have one of those?
Yeah, I mean, later.
Where it's just like, you put the weed in and it just disappears. You can't see it. There's no way to shine it. It's gone.
You have to shove it in there. You have to fish like a spear fisherman.
And then you're convinced that there's still more weed in there.
But there is. There always is.
But even when you run out, you still, you never really feel. I was smoking wood shavings, dude. I was getting high on fucking oak. I was like, why does this hurt so bad?
Yeah, you got to grind up a much more and put more in.
And then falling asleep at night and like feeling like my lungs are filling up with fluid and like I'm going to die in bed next to my wife at the age of 26.
Yeah. Well, joints are way better.
Yeah, for sure. I've been thinking about investing in a bong again, actually, for home use.
Like a water bong?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Why? What's your reasoning there?
Oh,
they seem a bong classless.
They are classless. They are classless.
Frat-like.
Yeah, but I feel like weed has been destigmatized enough that why not bring back contraptions that you actually like? Yes, they are frat-like, but you know you love a good bong hit.
It feels great.
It feels good on your lungs. Put ice in the water.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a wonderful, it's an experience.
I feel like it's for company. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're going to have company.
It's a party bong. Yeah, sure.
Also, okay, I'm coming around on this. Also, you're older now, so the one negative of water bong is spilling bong water everywhere. But you're a fucking adult. You just clean it out.
I mean, I'm an adult. I'm a very clumsy adult, so I would do that. But I have
I'm saying you don't leave it there for a month. You just clean it out until you're ready to use it
again. I never did that. I would always change bong water on a daily basis. Never even more than one use. That's where your OCD comes into play. Okay. Like it comes in handy sometimes.
That's nuts. That's putting us all in a bad spot.
That's fucking small potatoes, dude. Okay. That is small potatoes. But yeah, my new apartment has a terrace, so I would probably just, you know, bring that on the terrace.
Out there.
Yeah.
Full water bong. Get ice.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Right?
Yeah. I should get a bong. I have a fucking roof deck. I should have a bong out there.
It's a way to support local business. All these fucking.
I'm going bong shopping. Note to self. To self, get a bong. Yeah.
Dude, these smoke shop dudes would be. Their minds would be blown if you went in there and bought a bong.
They're Indian. They don't know me at all.
They're just fixing people's phones in there. That's their main revenue.
Yeah.
They'd be like, oh, what?
It's all St. Mark's.
A bong.
It's like
you can't
shades,
call it a bong.
Bongs,
what do you call it?
Yeah.
A tobacco water pipe?
Mm-hmm. That's how Tommy Chong got in trouble.
It's insane. You still have to use lingo. Although, if it's legal now, maybe you don't have to.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You can actually...
I want a crack bong.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry, now we can't.
Dude, I got stopped at a... I got so cavalier with, like, sneaking weed into concerts when I first moved here.
Yeah.
Because I used to, like, hide it in my sock and shit and then, like, never get searched. I'd be like, what am I going through all this rigmarole to, like, hide my shit? Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And it was, I think I went to see the Raconteurs, Jack White's band at like
great.
Terminal 5.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah. And walking through the line and this like 5 foot, like shaved headed black chick security guard, like a bowling ball, dude, just like a fucking bull. Like she patted me down and she felt my one hitter at the time, which was glass.
Yeah.
But it was like, when those things, after like three uses, it's filthy.
Oh, yeah.
And she pulled it out, and I was already high out of my gourd.
Because you got high in line, just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, what's this? And I was like, it's a one hitter.
You know what the fuck it is.
She was like, man, that's a crack pipe. And I was like, what? She's like, I know a crack pipe, and this is a crack pipe. And I was like, ma'am, I promise you, it's not a crack pipe. Smell it. It's weed. Just smell it. She's like, man, I ain't smoking your crack pipe. I ain't smelling your crack pipe. And I was like, oh my, this woman is like berating me over my crack pipe. And I was like, I promise you, it's not a crack pipe. I was like, and I said, do I look like I smoke crack? My eyes are fucking inflamed beyond compare. Do I look like I've been smoking crack? She was like, get your ass in there. And she like took my ticket. She chucked my shit in the trash. But the great thing about it was, in my other pocket, I had a whole nug of weed that she didn't feel because she was distracted by my crack pipe.
Oh, great.
So then...
How'd you smoke it?
We pulled a fucking beer can out of one of the trash bins by the bar and made a fucking beer can bong. Yeah.
At Terminal 5?
Yeah.
That's great.
But yeah, I technically had a crack pipe confiscated by a
What makes a crack pipe? It's the bowl part thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it really does look like it's, yeah. A glass one-hitter looks like a Virginia Slim crack pipe.
Yeah.
You know, they're very sleek, but once they...
DMT, you're supposed to do crack pipe.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know, have you done, you haven't done the toad, have you?
No.
No?
Have you?
No, I have not, but my wife is very into psychedelics now and incorporating psychedelics into therapy.
Yeah.
And she hasn't done it. I don't think she's going to do it, but she's...
But she got a prescription for toad?
No.
Oh,
no.
What's
it? I don't think you can get, I don't think you can get
from
one.
From a shaman?
I think it's just one of these things you have to just kind of seek out.
Wait, what was...
But there's people that administer it.
Why is she into toad? Like, why that one?
Because she's done, only in adulthood, she didn't do it until like several years ago, mushrooms and MDMA. But incorporating it into her own therapy.
Into therapy?
And I've done it too. I've done therapeutic MDMA, where you like sit with a guide and you just kind of like process shit. You're just kind of talking out loud and he kind of... explaining it, I know it sounds like, who is this person? Why would you do that? I know it sounds insane.
No, well, the first problem is, it's fine, no problem. The first question I have is, they want you to do MD and then sit?
Yeah.
But like... Isn't that the hardest part? Not wanting to get up and move around?
Well, you know, first of all, you know its intention. So you know that you're going to be sitting. It's going to be like a purging of feelings, thoughts, anything that's been repressed over time. And you're supposed to just sit. You're allowed to, you know, get up if you need to stretch your legs. Go get a drink of water. You're encouraged to hydrate a lot, yeah, you know, yeah, pee no, as much
gotta,
as you can.
You got to get fucking water when you're on Molly.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
So, you know, but you're not like out milling around hanging with the general public. So it was this guide who, he wasn't a doctor. He was just, he had a lot of experience with MDMA itself and being with people while they're processing whatever they're processing.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of like exchanges with him over Signal, which I never knew Signal was used for anything. Is it used for anything but? You're not supposed to say that.
I mean, don't ruin our thing.
You're right. You're right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Don't ruin our thing. Like, yeah, you're right.
Well, no, but like,
I'm being a real narc.
I mean, I don't know. It's just like we're doing fine. But yeah,
but I
yeah,
found this guy and he was like, sounded like a good, trustworthy, solid dude, and he was. It was a wonderful experience. It was totally transformative. It was a word of mouth recommended sort of thing. You know, my wife has found various avenues. You know, you do enough sleuthing, you find this whole kind of underground web of people that do this, and it's, you know, it's therapeutic. It's not drug use. It's medicine.
Have you ever done it for drugs though?
I have. Yeah.
It's the best, isn't it?
It is. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's just, you know, pure love and just loving everything you're experiencing, you know.
Yeah.
You could be getting your toenails ripped off and you'd find something to be gleeful about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, doing it therapeutically and knowing kind of what I wanted to.
And then the guy just like therapies you the whole time?
Yeah, you're in a very kind of serene setting. It was at an Airbnb that he had rented in, like, was it Dumbo? Yeah. And it was, you know, very nice, very kind of like new agey looking apartment with like, you know, a guitar in the corner and cool art on the walls. And you just sit down and you just kind of go through whatever you're thinking. And he makes some notes. You record the session. So if you want to listen back on it, you can. I didn't. I couldn't.
Why?
I didn't want to. Because I already felt like he gave me the notes that he took and I read those over and like I knew what I didn't need to hear it again. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's
don't
like another
like
realm. I couldn't do
you
that.
Forget, like one or two things where you're like, oh yeah.
Anything like, that's really important fucking stays with you.
All right.
You know.
Yeah.
And it was great. I needed it because I've gone through my life a very, very fearful person, you know, afraid of being fucking nuked for pissing off the big man or afraid of being ostracized by my mom and my congregation, you know? And that's spilled over into every area of my life. So, yeah, I've done it.
I did it one time with that guy, and then I've done it two times since then, just at home.
Just by yourself.
Chilling in, yeah.
Thinking about stuff.
My wife will be nearby if I want to, like, talk to her about anything. We've done it with each other. Like, she's done it as well. Well, I'm kind of the...
With an intention of, I'm like, kind working of the, on something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My friends did it, like, 3 days a week for the whole pandemic.
Really? 3 days a week? Holy fuck. Yeah,
they did a lot. But they're just having fun. It's fun to do it with someone you like, too.
Right, yeah.
That is weird. It's not weird. It's interesting to, like, get it as a way of, like, I'm going to try to get into this and this. Why? Why you're feeling good about a subject? So you just look at it positively?
Yeah, it's not, you know, I was going to say it's not all positive. For the most part, it is. I mean, it makes you grateful. It made me very grateful for my life. I feel like I definitely have OCD that leads to me feeling like the world is against me sometimes. Uh-huh. And it's a horrible way to feel, you know, and it just kind of makes you go into going along on the ride of life rather than fighting it at all costs, you know, which I felt like I was really doing. You don't do that, from what I can tell. You fucking ride the wave, man.
Going like, along you're with all life about fighting it at all costs. Say that again. Anxiety of what?
It is anxiety. Like, if you're really living life, you go where life takes you.
Oh, right.
The ups and downs, you ride the wave, you know, rather than me that I felt like I've been, like, fighting, swimming against the riptide. Everything feels like it's against me, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like since leaving the religion, everything's just felt like an uphill battle. You know, it's been great to have freedom, but it's also still hard to acclimate to a normal life sometimes.
Yeah.
And, like, one of my buddies, Matt Wayne. Do you know Matt Wayne? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Matt. He's one of my best friends, and he's the funniest dude. He always tells me, like, I'll drop a bomb sometimes. Like, somebody was talking about Ghostbusters, and I was like, I never saw Ghostbusters, and everybody was like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, I never saw Ghostbusters. And why? Well, I wasn't really allowed to because I was a Jehovah's Witness. It has ghost in the title. Why didn't you see it as an adult? I was like, I'm not really into science fiction. And they're like, it's not it's fucking comedy. Science fiction, you dipshit. And his mind was so blown that I had not investigated Ghostbusters. And he was like, well, you know, you were in a cult. And it was just like, I could use that at any point in my life. Any awkward situation. Be like, hey, I was in a cult.
Yeah.
It's such a great get out of jail free card.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're like, but all right. Yeah, good point. Did you ever get the toad? Did she?
No.
But she's actively looking for it?
No, she's not actively looking for it. She's talked to people that have done it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Are you into Mike Tyson at all? You know that he's like a transformed man.
On
dude.
Toad?
He's done the toad several times.
Damn, really?
He's like, if I had to join another cult right now, it would be led by Mike Tyson. Yeah. His outlook on life, he has had a life like no other person in existence in terms of highs and lows.
Of all the people we've known or heard of, the number one pigeon trainer.
Yes. I don't know. Not where I thought you were going, but yes. Path. That's true. He loves his birds, too. He kisses them on the mouth and shit. He's like a white lady with her dog. So he has done the toad. He smokes weed all day, every day.
The weed I knew about.
Yeah. And he, just his outlook on life, man. He's not afraid of death. He's like, death is a beautiful part of life. It's half of the equation, you know? Yeah. Kind of like you can't have life. It's a full circle thing that you got to be on board to experience all of it and embrace it and find the beauty in death. And he's had more money and fame than anybody. And he's also had such tragedy in his life. You know, like his daughter fucking got strangled with a treadmill cord.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And like he's had you know, lawsuits. He's been vilified by the media for years. You know, I'm not saying he's a good dude, and he acknowledges that he's fucked up. He's made big mistakes in his life, you know. But like, just his outlook on life is beautiful. So he has this podcast called Hot Box, and you'd love it. I think you would love it.
Hot boxing, because
it's called Hot Boxing.
Because one, my first thought was
strap in here, folks.
But then also, here's the second level. He's a boxer, professional boxer. Oh, also one of the best boxers of anyone we've ever heard of.
Yeah, pretty good at that.
But far and away the best pigeon trainer. No one else has even tried. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. What is Toad supposed to do?
That was his first street fight, by the way. He was picked on his whole life, called a fat kid. He had a speech impediment his whole life, so he was bullied all the time. And some kid came up onto his roof, grabbed a hold of one of his pigeons one time and was like, "You love this thing?" And he took the thing's head and just popped it off, just blood squirting everywhere, took the carcass, just dropped it, like did a mic drop of the carcass, and Tyson just fucking snapped and just leapt on the kid and just pummeled the shit out of this much bigger, tougher kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is tough. Damn,
you don't fuck with his pigeons. Yeah, so like...
Molly and Mushroom is pretty standard, too. At like, festivals and things.
Right, right.
It just, like, keeps the mood up.
I haven't done mushrooms in probably, like... I don't think I've done them since my son was born, actually. I had a great run with mushrooms, and then I got too cocky, and I, like, did them at the creek one night at the bar at the creek after a show.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, not the way to do it, man.
Yeah.
You know? I went from doing it outside in the daytime in the park... to that is no good.
Yeah, it's also what, like,
running out of there,
there
running out of there, out having of like it. Schizophrenic breakdowns. I remember it was pouring rain one time. I had my umbrella out, and I was just this inner voice of you, like, "You can't handle your drugs, you pussy bitch, you little bitch, little bitch girl with your broken umbrella." The wind like ripped my umbrella inside out. I was trying to hail a cab. All these cabs were whizzing past me, like, "You can't even get a cab, you bitch."
The mushrooms are telling you the truth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like, horrible. Oh, and then I got in the car and I was just like trembling in the seat, and then going through a tunnel and all the lights in the tunnel, I felt like I was in Star Wars. I was like, pew, 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 and I was just like horrified the entire ride home.
that sounds like fun as shit.
I mean, looking back on it's hilarious, but yeah, at the time. And then also getting home and being feeling so horrible about myself that I was afraid to go upstairs and have my wife see me freaking out. So I just stood in the stairwell leaning against the wall for 20 minutes just by myself in my fucking stairwell, just trying to sober up, and then finally going up there and be like, "I have to tell you something." She's like, "What? Are you okay?" I was like, "I took mushrooms and I feel so weird." She's like, "That's okay." And she, like, you know, I put my head in her lap and she was like, "Yeah, it couldn't have been." She was like a fucking saint. And I was so scared she was going to be mad at me, you know? Oh, it was awful. And I was like, "I'm never doing these again."
Which, had she done shrooms at that point?
She had. Yeah. Yeah, we've done it together.
What a fucking
before.
Good coach.
Yeah. So that last experience really fucking shook me, and I haven't done them since, but I think I'm ready to do
How long
them
was
again.
That?
It was before my
Pretty
son was, yeah, probably 7 years ago. Probably right before he was born, because when she was pregnant, I went off the fucking rails, dude. I was like, I got 9 months of freedom. I'm going balls to the wall. Yeah. Just like out a bunch, drinking a bunch. Nothing more than the usual, just drinking and smoking,
yeah,
but a lot
while you can.
Every, yeah.
God, the kid, that's the original pandemic, like on your family. Completely changed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rebecca was really good at one time I was at Mushrooms in Montreal, and just with like a bunch of like, I don't know, regular people, non-comics.
Yeah.
And it was just like, back there. And then she was like, "Hi, are you doing great? You look great." She just kept using the word great. She was like, "Yeah, it's a great night out." I didn't know until later. I think I might have even known, like, I get what you're doing, but it still fucking worked. Like, all right, thank you. I'm pretty calm now.
Yeah, I've had, did I do Molly at the Creek once too? And that was fine.
That seems
that
like
fine.
A better situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, they'll put on some music. Sure. Dance parties broke out there, right?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely, yeah. But, yeah, I'm down to do mushrooms again. But I feel like, so since I quit drinking 2 years ago, I quit everything for a little bit. I went off antidepressants, and then I quit drinking, and then I quit smoking weed for like a month. And then I was like, I need something. I need something in my life to look forward to. And I mostly smoke weed.
You can't live with all this. No way. No. No way. No. I don't know who does it.
You need something. Everybody has something. Even if it's food, you know? Yeah. Like, for some people, it's ice cream, you know?
Shut this up for a minute. Yeah, exactly.
Some people talk about eating a pint of Häagen-Dazs. And to me, I'm like, how do you do that? That's abhorrent.
Don't you throw up?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You ever have any fat comic friends?
Just leaking out of my asshole all night. Triple chocolate fudge out my ass.
Yeah, I could do it, but I don't like to go for it.
So like,
if I get too high, I'll just never stop. But
yeah,
those guys do it regularly.
Yeah, so everybody has something, but you know, it's mostly at night, just to kind of. It's kind of like, as a parent.
Yeah,
it's kind of like clocking
your kid
out.
Know you smoke?
He does, and smart. I've given a lot of thought. He found my vape pen a couple times when he was really young, like 3 years old, and I would like go into this panic of like, oh, don't touch that. What is that? It's a electric battery thing. It's dangerous. And like just like lying to him about it. And then I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to like, why am I? I am in an opportunity. We're living in a time where weed does not have to be vilified.
It's like you're not just cigarettes.
Like his outlook on everything is so much different than mine. Yeah. You know, like he
it's not illegal.
No.
There's nothing wrong with it.
I tell him it calms me down. It helps me sleep. It's a medicine. It's a plant. You know, there's nothing to be vilified, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so great that he can grow up with that outlook on things. Just the way he's able to grow up, like, just by proxy of living in New York, being with every different race and creed and background and sexual orientation. Like, I didn't have that. I grew up in, like, there was one black kid in my whole fucking high school. Everyone wanted to be his friend just because he was the one black friend.
Yeah, we had that
and
too.
He was like the most black family. He was by far the best basketball player. Yeah, yeah, and he fucked everybody's girlfriend.
Oh, that we didn't do.
And everybody still wanted to be like Dan's friend, you know.
Yeah.
And my son was talking about this kid Michael. For it was such a novelty to have a black kid in the school, you know. And my son, the first week of school, he was talking about this kid, Michael. And like, I hung out with Michael today. Michael and I did this. Michael and I drew together. And then finally, I see this kid giving his mom a hug goodbye. And I was like, who's that kid? It looks like he's having a hard time like going to school today, too. And he was like, that's Michael. And the first words out of my mouth, I go, Michael's black? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, how did you not lead with that? I'd be so proud to have made a black friend during the first week of school. But that's like, that means nothing to him, you know?
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It. Like, I guess so.
Yeah.
Like, he wears brown pants? And you're like, yeah, now that you mention it, it's like on that level.
Yeah.
Oh.
And like, he knows gay and straight. He doesn't think one is better than the other. He says that there's a boy in his class that has a crush on him. And it's like, okay, how do you feel about that? I like it. Cool, man. Like, a crush is just affection at that age. And
that's
then he told
so
me that.
So much different than us.
Right?
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. It's great that they're being raised with this entirely different fucking outlook.
Yeah. If you held your hand that way, you got attacked by everybody. If you were just standing up and you held your hand that way.
Oh, yeah,
constant
yeah.
Constant attack. Gay.
Right?
Gay.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at his
hand. I was thinking about that this morning, that like anybody that bucks against, you know, trans shit is like, why not like use it to your advantage, you know, like embrace it. Like there are no like line there. If there's no lines drawn, like my wife asked me to hold her purse outside of a store, you know, she had to go run in to use the bathroom, asked me to hold her purse, you know. Years past, I would have felt so awkward holding her purse. Like, how do I hold this so everyone knows it's not my purse?
Yeah.
And now I'm like, fuck it, this is my purse. Yeah, I'm gonna rock this thing.
Who cares? Exactly.
I'll fucking roll my t-shirt up, show some midriff.
That's what they do in China.
And own this thing.
Chinese bikini. They roll it up. All the dudes walk around like that. They roll up and tie it. Chinese bikini.
Yeah.
For real. It's
That's
a real
crazy.
Thing.
Crazy.
What? Oh.
Can I just take one quick, like, 30 second?
Yeah, sure. All right, Doug has to go. We're back, everybody. Doug's got to go. He's got a family emergency now. So I think it's covered. What? One question. Was there drugs use allowed?
Was there drug use allowed in witnesses?
Yeah.
No. No, absolutely not, no.
Right? I thought standard, but I was hoping maybe they get you on, like, a natural thing.
No. No. I wonder if they, there may be some that find loopholes for marijuana use.
Yeah.
Although I think it's smoking of anything and doing anything to damage your body.
Okay.
Drinking is allowed in moderation, which, you know, what does that fucking mean?
What does that mean?
You know, there's plenty of witnesses that got, I'm sure, got pretty buzzed up. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one to judge you, and that's all your call, you know? Yeah. No tattoos. I don't think they would allow yoga, because yoga, any sort of position where you're inviting outside forces or getting in touch with any sort of spirituality outside of Jehovah is no good.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because Hinduism.
Even meditation, wrong. I would imagine they would probably be like, no, don't do that.
Whoa.
You don't want any evil forces sneaking in. Yeah.
They're so just all, like, it seems wrong.
All my music and movies was all had to pass inspection. You know, I would bring home a CD and my mom would read the liner notes.
And say, nope.
And be like, you know. Like, I remember bringing a Nine Inch Nails CD home. And be like, I want to F you like an animal.
Like, what were you even thinking?
I was
thinking?
Like, farm? Come on, Trent.
Farm you like an animal?
You're fucking me up here. It was heartbreaking because it was like, you know, $17 on a CD. Working an after-school job at a fucking office supply store to earn $17 to buy a CD and then just like one F-bomb in the trash.
Gone. And then that's too harsh for a kid like that, though, anyway. She was right. There's no way you can handle that.
That's true. Yeah, that was,
Was there fucking? Really dropping the bomb. Did you guys fuck at all? Like Catholic, like not allowed for doing it anyway?
All the kids that I grew up with, no. My congregation was so fucking straight edge.
Okay.
But that's a reason that so many witnesses get married when they're like 20. They don't know they hardly know the person. They're like, this person's attractive. They want to fuck me. I want to fuck them. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Neither one of them has any experience. They're often miserable. They marry to have sex, and then they realize, oh shit, I gotta be with this person.
Ugh.
I have to have a relationship with this person.
Yeah. If you're not compatible that way.
Ugh. Yeah.
But, yeah.
So there's a lot of that. No tattoo. I'm trying to think of all the shit.
No
tattoos.
No sex we have, but people still
do. No premarital sex. No masturbation.
Yeah, but that's a ridiculous one.
I have talked about this on stage, but that's what I'm working on now, and I wish I could promote it right now. We're still trying to work out a date. I'm working on a solo show about Jehovah's Witness shit.
Oh, that's great.
And me and Chris Gethard and Anthony DeVito are all working on solo shows simultaneously, so we're going to do a show together. We each get like 20 minutes to work out a different chunk.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So we're still fucking... It's going to be a caveat soon. I wish I had the fucking date. It's the only thing I have to promote, and I don't have the fucking date locked in.
What it is.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll make sure to post about it when it's up. But, excuse me. Yeah, I
it's a good idea. You should.
It's all been geared toward, you know, just going through everything, almost kind of like reliving it in a way that hasn't always been. It's kind of hard, you know, it's kind of hard to have all these realizations
Yeah. And how much do you explain to people? Like, it's a given in your mind. Where it's like, this is just obvious, but it's like not to everybody.
Right.
I saw Subra once go, said something about her, like, immigrant parents. She goes, and you know how immigrant parents are. And then she moved on. And I remember going, like, no. That's the perfect time to let me know. I have no clue.
Right.
But
right.
I'm sure in her head it was like, just like, oh.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how much do you explain? And then how much do you be like, you don't want to air the other side. People are like, yeah, we know. You know how to spell Jehovah. Like, it's not
an issue. Yeah. It's a fine balance between giving enough exposition that they kind of have a foundation for what the reality this is rooted in.
Yeah.
Because there have been times where I've done jokes about it, where as soon as I say Jehovah's Witness, I see people, a look of confusion on people's faces. So no matter what I'm talking about, they're thinking, are they the ones that, what do they do again? They can't have chocolate, or they,
fuck
their sisters and
Kill
the kill the girls that are born. It's like they have all these preconceived notions about what Jehovah's Witnesses do that they're trying to figure out that. Well, I'm telling the joke, so I feel like I have to do this show. I got to break it down still in a comedic way, you know, which is same as what I did with This Is Not Happening. It's like that was a 15-minute story, you know, do four of those. Mm-hmm. You can do four of those that are all woven together in
that's
a way.
That's what you're going to do, these 20-minute things? That's cool.
So like various, you know, different chapters up until
do you do them on stage?
Yeah.
I could see that trying to like lower that limit of time where they go like Jehovah's Witness are like, oh yeah, I get it now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you do it. Explain the stuff, then say that was called Jehovah's Witness. I don't know. I don't even know how you would do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing. I got to kind of like break down the lingo.
Yeah.
It's almost like I want to have a fucking dry erase board with a chart up there. Yeah, like with like a food pyramid triangle. Yeah. Like the elders, ministerial servants, publishers, pioneers. There's all these terms for the people that they're in there in terms of how many hours they put in the knocking on doors.
Yeah. Oh, you really? Know? You got more points?
Fucking which shit. I did that every summer. That's a reason. So like school sucked. You know, I'm keeping this secret all through school that I'm a witness. I don't want anybody to know because I don't want to be a weirdo.
Yeah.
But I have to remove myself whenever there's a birthday party. You know, like, where the fuck is Doug? Doesn't he want this last cupcake? And I'm in the fucking library just sitting there. And then...
you couldn't even celebrate anyone else's birthday.
No, man. So, like, school sucked. And then, like, you'd be like, all right, well, at least you had summer vacation. And it's like, no, summer vacation, I had to devote 60 hours a month. I had to choose 1 month, whether it was July or August, and devote 60 hours to going around knocking on doors.
Ugh.
60
that's
hours.
Community service, huh?
It was like a full-time job.
Oh.
So, like, yeah.
Doug, go out, get out of here and save your wife. I'm sorry. Also, we got too hot. But that was great. So, yeah, do the show soon. Where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm excited.
To see what it is. I'll post about it. I'll post about it.
At Who Doug Smith on Twitter and Instagram. I'll be posting about it soon. But, yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be like, you know, three solo shows that you're going to get to see kind of being formed month by month.
Where are you going to do it? You don't know where you're going
to do it. A Caveat. It's definitely going to be a Caveat. But
where's Caveat?
You haven't been there yet? Oh, you'd love this place. Where is it? So cool. It's on the Lower East Side. It's on like Clinton and between like, it's right off of Houston. Clinton and Houston. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a cool like basement, beautiful performance space.
You know why the street C Avenue C is called Loisaida?
No.
It's because that's how the Puerto Ricans say Lower East Side.
Really?
Yeah.
Louis Sida?
Yeah.
I'm a Louis Sida? Yeah. Wow. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
Jesus.
So they honor the fucking heritage or some shit. All right. Thanks, dude. That was fucking
thanks so much, man.
Funny and interesting.
I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah.
I really do. That was a ball.
Yeah. There's so many similarities to Judaism in that.
Yeah. It's nutty. Crazy.
They're all kind of doing the same exact shit, but like slightly off.
Yeah, and that's why when I see Hasids, there's part of me that's like, I feel like I kind of know what it's like. I feel for them,
yeah.
You know, because I know a lot of them don't want to be in that.
Some
they
of them
really
caught
don't.
The fucking freak, and they can't do it. You see them a lot with black hookers, dropping off black hookers specifically, because they want to go like as far away. They just I can't anymore.
Dude, that type of repression breeds insanity.
Yeah.
So
if
many Jehovah's
you
Witnesses.
And you can't get any of it.
So many Jehovah's Witnesses, when they leave, go off the fucking rails, dude. There's a lot of suicide. Like, I, you know, clearly never took that route, but I was a scary drunk for a long time, to the point that I wasn't getting hungover. When I first moved here, I drank at least a six-pack a night just to maintain. I would get, like, the shakes at 5 o'clock, you know? This wasn't even for fun. This was just to maintain a base level. Oh. I got kicked out of every fucking bar on St. Mark's Place for blacking out and acting like an asshole. I got kicked out of McSorley's once for spewing beer all over a group of sailors at Fleet Week.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I never saw you as that drunk.
It was nuts, man. I hung upside down from one of the handrails on the train coming home from Coney Island one time.
Really? Like a dancer?
Yeah, one of my iPod fell out of my pocket, woke up the next morning, gone.
You were a drunk.
A friend of mine sends me a picture of me hanging from the handrail. I zoom in on the floor. There's my iPod. Yeah.
Have you seen my iPod? You got to be like, you're not getting your iPod back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over.
I cut myself off, yeah. You're not a big boy. You don't deserve this.
Yeah. Cold turkey's tough. It's such a good drinking town.
But you know what? I wasn't even setting out to quit. And when I did quit, it wasn't a problem. I was drinking every night, but I was drinking one or two drinks a night, just enough to get bloated and tired. And it was alcohol. Just, I had to realize just didn't agree with me. I had like bloat, indigestion, bowel problems for years, and I tried everything else, you know, diet. I was vegan for a month. Nothing made a difference. And then I like took a night off of drinking. And I had like a one.
I've given up everything except my six pack a day.
Yeah, yeah. I had a wonderful night's sleep. Yeah. Then I took another night off, and I was like, oh, let's see how many nights this feels good for, you know. Uh-huh. And 2 years later, so it wasn't like I gotta stop, this is it, this is rock bottom. It was like I'm gonna take a night off, another night, and it just, I honestly do not.
Does part of you feel like a failure?
A failure?
You see other people drinking?
No, I honestly wish that. I feel like some people need that, but I also feel like all the good feelings that I was having,
yeah,
I can get those feelings from weed too.
Yeah.
Yes, there's always a little bit of paranoia and anxiety to power through for 10 minutes, but then you come out the other side and it's like,
it's
okay.
It's a danger zone.
Yeah.
It's that thing of like, I gotta go. Wait here for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, okay, I'm cool. Let's hang out.
I gotta go through hell for 10 minutes while you're like two drinks in, and then we'll reconvene.
Yeah, we walk around the block. All right, Doug. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, man.
I'll do my introduction and then I'll play Doug's story from This Not Happening. Right after the intro. We'll go out with that so you can all listen to it. Oh, not unless you're watching on YouTube, then you can't. Well, suck it. Should have subscribed and listened on fucking the other one. All right, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
No.
Appreciate you.
Doug Smith.
That's it. I can help you celebrate. May she bring you lots of cheer. Happy birthday, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Happy birthday, Merry Christmas, and
Well, I'm going to push it. I'm going to try to do an outro with basically zero batteries left and hope I can make it happen. There's a clap for you, Marissa. That was the episode. Thank you very much, Doug Smith. Dude, there's so many fucking similarities between Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, and Mormonism. It's crazy. I was talking to Doug afterwards. Just like the all the movements and stuff like that, the little things. It's just like, it's just so... My brother, we went to Israel. We went for the first time. I'm sorry, I got to keep looking at this thing to see if my battery's dead. We went to Israel for the first time. Went to the Christian quarter for the first time. We were never allowed to go there. Not to the Arab quarter, not to the Christian quarter. And my brother noticed that the flatuations, whatever they're called. So Jews will go like this and like this. And Christians will go like that. And Jews will like wrap their fucking... It's just all movements and hand motions. But... if you step back and don't notice the intricacies, then it's all kind of the same. You're all doing movements and hand motions. Just some are different than others. Anyway, fucking great, interesting episode, everybody. Go to Who Doug Smith, at Who Doug Smith on Instagram. Let him know how much you fucking liked it. Follow him. Follow me on there for my tour posters. Probably do five new tour idea names a week. Five or six. So again, Boston, December 9th, go to arishafir.com for tickets. I've also got in November and December, Orlando, Tampa, Oklahoma City, Boston, San Antonio, and then Cleveland, Phoenix, and Denver next year. And another announcement coming soon about a show in Michigan. I'm teasing it with Bajero Grissom and Robert Kelly. We'll see. I think it should happen. We'll see. And then other shit coming. Denver's coming later. I mean, not Denver. Chicago's coming in the summer. And Minneapolis. Whatever. Anyway, that'll all come later. Oh, so here's what I was going to say in the outro. This is what I remembered. There was some movie I saw, and this reminds me of Doug's life. There was some movie I saw about some girl who was on another planet, and they had something like 2 years of darkness and then like one day of light. And this girl, she was from Earth. So she remembered the sun, and everyone hated her. Everyone's like, no, you don't know shit. She was ostracized, kind of like Doug was. And then the day of sunlight came, and they were picking on her. They locked her in a closet as they were picking on her, and suddenly the light came out. All the kids went outside to play in the light. The flowers bloomed. Everything was beautiful summer. And she was stuck in the closet. I saw this when I was like 8 years old. I have a memory of it. I have no idea what movie it was. It was a made-for-TV movie, I think. And then the kids came back in right as the sun was going down again into this cavernous lair, you know. It's an underground bunker. And they were all happy, and then they realized they had left her in there. They were all sorry about it. They let her out. She was like, the light's over? The one day I have? Like, yeah. And they gave her a flower. Didn't make up for it. God, that just made me sad just even thinking about it. Well, Doug, that was your life. You were that fucking girl. He's locked in a closet while all your friends are having fun in the sun every single day. Anyway, that's the episode, everybody. Please subscribe on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube. Hit subscribe. Make sure to check out Yoga with Ari every Monday morning in October. This will move again to Tuesdays. This podcast will move to Tuesdays starting in November. That's it. Patreon.com/AriShaffir. Two new ones in the last, plus a pooping video, a pooping in nature that Ryan O'Neill took. All on the glory of Patreon.com/AriShaffir. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Ari Shaffir.
Have a good day.
I'm going to tell you a story about the only fight that I've ever been in my entire life. And it's important to keep in mind that prior to this, the closest I had ever come was a pillow fight when I was 8 years old against my best friend. And you'd think I would have won that because he was the nosebleed kid. You guys know these kids, right? They just have blood gushing out of their head with no warning whatsoever. Like, we'd be standing there waiting for the school bus. He'd bend down to tie his shoe. Just stand up looking like he just went on a coke bender. It was so bad, my mom wouldn't even let him in the house, which was weird growing up with an indoor cat and an outdoor friend, but that's the way it had to be. So we're 8 years old, we're jumping on his bed, pillows in hand, we whack each other at the exact same moment, his nose just erupts. But I find out that I am deathly allergic to goose down. So he's got blood all over the comforter, I'm laid out on the bed with my eyes swollen shut, gasping for air. We're both screaming for help. My throat closes up. My dad has to rush me to the emergency room. I've never seen him more embarrassed in his life, by the way. Doctor comes in. He was like, what happened to him? He was in a fight. What kind of fight? I don't see why that's important. Definitely not a big confidence booster when you find out that your kryptonite is feathers, you know? So cut to 20 years later, I still have a shameful 0-1 record. I'm in the East Village of Manhattan. It's about 10 o'clock on a Thursday night. I just bought some weed, and I'm headed home to Brooklyn. So I go down the stairs of the 2nd Avenue F train station, and as I swipe my card, I hear a woman screaming. Now, if you live in a small town, that might be a cause for concern, but in a city of 8 million people, some of them are going to be screaming. Pretty much par for the course. So I casually look over and I see a petite young blonde girl, early 20s, and holding her from behind is a guy about my build, maybe mid-30s. It's getting a little rough, but I'm like, is he doing the Heimlich maneuver? But you can't scream while you're choking. And also he has one hand on her breast, the other hand is moving between her legs. His form is terrible. I think maybe this is a couple into some aggressive foreplay. Anything I can do to justify not getting involved, right? But then he grabs her by the blouse, whips her against the wall, hauls off, punches her in the face, clobbers her. She is now sobbing. He's trying to rip her pants off. And I'm like, you know what? I don't think they're together. I think this guy is a rapist. Someone's got to stop this guy.
not going to be me, of course, but somebody. And now he grabs her by the throat, slams her head against the wall, and no one is doing anything. He hits her again. I'm like, shit, I got to be that guy. So I yell out the most threatening thing I can think of, which unfortunately is, hey, buddy, that's a lady. Imagine if that's all it took. If he was like, oh, my God, it is a lady. This is... that's the last time I leave the house without my glasses. So as you can imagine, has no effect. And he hauls off to hit her again. And I just fucking hulk out. I go, come on, let's go. Which is a pretty big jump from, hey, buddy, that's a lady, right? Could have gone with pick on someone your own size or I'm telling. But it gets his attention, and as he turns to look at me, she pries his hand off her throat, bolts through the turnstile, flies up the stairs, runs out of the station. She's going to be okay. But then I turn back to him, and he is pissed. I don't know if you guys have ever cock-blocked a rapist before. But they do not take too kindly to it. So he's just staring me down with these steely blue eyes, and I gotta tell you, under normal circumstances, beautiful eyes, but right now they're just cold and terrifying, and I'm taking full inventory of his physical appearance. I'm like, all right, 5'10", 160. I want to be able to give a detailed description of the police when I wake from my medically induced coma. So he takes his first step toward me and very calmly goes, what you gonna do, motherfucker? And part of me is tempted to try to talk my way out of this. You know, I'll be like, hey, man, I didn't mean to interfere. If you hurry, I'm sure you can catch up with her. I'm tempted, but I don't do that. I'm like, come on, all right, come fucking, this is your chance to take this guy out. So I clench my fists, and I start yelling, back the fuck up, man, back the fuck up. And I can tell you, that does not have much impact when you yourself are fearfully backing up. So I hit the opposing wall. He's got me backed into a corner. I got nowhere to go. So I have no choice but to try to take this guy out. So I take a deep breath, and I ready myself, and I step in with a demolishing blow. I'm just going to lay this guy out. And I may have if I wasn't still 8 feet away from him. So there's this horrible moment where I just watch my fist whiz past his face. I'm like, no! He steps in, clobbers me, my knees buckle, but I don't go down. I'm like, all right, fisticuffs is not my strong suit. I'm gonna come back, kick this guy in the balls like I just completed a woman's self-defense class. So I step in, I swing, he scoots back at the last second. I miss his balls, but I get him in the stomach. And here's what I know about my fighting style so far. Way too polite, can't land a punch. And when I kick someone, I make this sound. I go, not my proudest moment, but I make contact, and he stumbles back, and he turns, and he runs out of the station. So now I'm feeling like hot shit. I'm like, I got a powerhouse Bruce Lee kick. I didn't back down. I took a punch. He ran off. I think I'd finally won a fight, right? And more importantly, I saved that woman. I think I'm the first guy with a mustache to save a woman from train tracks rather than tie her to them. So now I'm feeling invincible. I'm about to get on the train and go home. And this older woman stops me. She goes, oh my God, you have a massive laceration on your face. And I look down and there's just blood just cascading down my face, onto my jacket, trickling onto my shoe. And I go, is it bad? She goes, it appears to be quite severe. And my adrenaline's pumping, so I don't feel any pain. I just feel warmth. And I kind of like replay everything in my head. And I think, well, that guy was kind of holding his hand in a funny way. He didn't really punch me so much as like swing at me. There's blood everywhere. I did not get punched. I did not win a fight. I just got stabbed in the face. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I get stabbed by a stranger with a foreign object, first thing that comes to mind, oh my God, now I have AIDS. know that's not how it works. You got to share a glass of water. But right now, paranoia was taking hold of me. So I'm like, oh my God, some spiteful psycho running around the city with an infected box cutter just filleted my face. Now I just have AIDS coursing through my veins. I think, you know what? Maybe it won't take hold if I'm bleeding it all out. So I actually lean over. Like, go, rid yourself. Get out of me. And the same woman, she goes, what are you doing? She reaches into her purse, grabs a wad of napkins, slaps them on my face, because, you know, every woman over 30 has a surplus of purse napkins. And she leads me up to the street, calls 911, dozen cops on the scene within minutes. They all want to see the cut. So one after another, I remove the napkins. Each time, another pint of blood spurts out. And they all have the same reaction. They just go, put it back, put it back, put it back. So another cop rolls up, and he goes, hey, do you mind if I see it? His partner goes, you see his mouth? Just picture another one right next to it. So all these cops are swarming around, and I remember I got that quarter ounce of weed in my backpack. Now, this is New York. This is not the weed-topia you burnouts are used to. It's not like I didn't show the guy my medical card. He's like, oh, cool, I have one too. All right. So justifiably, I'm freaking out. And I feel this big mitt on my shoulder. And I'm like, oh my God, he can smell it. I'm fucked. I'm going to jail. He spins me around. And this detective goes, hey, how's it feel to be a goddamn hero? He reaches into his back pocket, hands me his business card. He goes, you ever need anything? You ever in a jam? You call me. I got your back. I was like, I may take you up on that a little sooner than you think, sir. So ambulance finally shows up. I'm in the hospital. I'm getting stitched up. And I listen to a lot of rap music. I hear a lot of references to a buck 50. And a buck 50 is a facial laceration that requires 150 stitches. And I don't know if you can see the scar right here. Right there. You see it? You see it? A mere 23 stitches. Which has to make you wonder, what kind of fucking facial laceration requires 150 I think that's decapitation. No need to be alarmed, sir. We'll simply sew your head back on. You'll be good to go. So 10 days later, I get my stitches out. I seem to be healing up nicely. And that night, I'm brushing my teeth, and I notice this clear liquid dripping out of my scar. And I'm like, oh, it's just residual wound goop. No big deal. It keeps up for a few days. I go back to the doctor, and it turns out when this guy cut me, he hit my salivary gland. So I'm now drooling out of the side of my face. Not a little dribble, buckets of drool. Every time I see food, like you put a plate of wings in front of me, I'm just a slobbering St. Bernard. Which is ironic, because I'm a dog walker at the time, so I'm just roaming the streets of New York with a pack of dogs in tow. They're looking at me like, oh, he's one of us now. It was so bad, I could push on the gland and shoot it across the room. Which, too bad I didn't have that at the time of the attack, right? I'd be like, back the fuck up, man! Make me do it! So now I'm just feeling terrible. This is just a misery. I was like, I just run off and join the Coney Island freak show. I'll be the boy with the super soaker face. So 2 weeks goes by, and it finally stops. Drooling stops. I go back to the doctor. He's like, all right, I think you're finally out of the woods. All you got's that nifty-looking scar. Halloween's around the corner. Let me guess, you're going to go as the Joker. I was like, well, the Joker has a scar on both sides of his face, so unless I go out and stop a left-handed rapist, I don't know, man. But it all has a happy ending. I am fine, obviously. It turns out he did not give me AIDS. Had it all along. Girl got away, and they actually caught the guy. They caught the guy. 3 days after the whole thing happened, they found him right outside the same station. Remember, I thought he was my age? 54-year-old drunk homeless man. So, 20 years older than he looks, beautiful baby blues. I got my ass kicked by the world's sexiest wino. So, he's currently in prison. He got sentenced to 15 years of having a home. And people ask me if I'm worried about him coming after me when he gets out. And it's like, well, he's going to be 70 years old. So unless he watches this in prison and comes after me with a pillow, pretty sure that's a fight I can win. So wish me luck. Thank you guys so much. Don't bother me, bother me.